about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So, coasting time is officially over. Big changes are coming, and they're coming fast. And if you don't like them, this is called a door. You can walk right through it. All right? I'm not here to be your friend. I like my life outside of this place. I live to leave at 5.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the...
And now, our feature presentation. I don't know what happened.
Lost Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is an all-new show for a Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly sure what happened to Bean.
Are we here?
We are here.
We're here?
I think we are, yeah.
Okay.
Sarah Shahi's coming in today. Have I mentioned that yet? Did I mention that yet?
Yeah.
Did we say that yet?
Yeah, we said that.
She, of course, has that show on USA, Fairly Legal,
mm-hmm.
and is mildly attractive.
On the cover of, is it Maxim? Yes. Oh, there it is, right there in your hand. What, have you had that all night?
Turns out it is. I've kept it with me since it came out a couple days ago.
Never leave your side?
No, I take it with me in my car,
uh-huh.
and where I go places, mm-hmm. and then when I take a nap, I bring it and put it under the pillow.
My God in heaven. It does look kind of ragged.
It's been used.
It's a little beat up.
Won't open.
Poor Sarah.
If that's what you're asking.
I suggest you hide that when she comes in.
No possible way. No possible way.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, Sarah Shahi is going to be here on the show today. Very excited about that. Dana Same. White is going to be here. Dana
oh,
White
wow.
is always a great guest.
Fascinating
and,
guy.
He's not afraid to speak his mind, and I'm fascinated to find out what he thinks about the whole John Jones thing. I know he says he's been interviewed a bunch, but John Jones was supposed to take a backup fight and then declined it, so they canceled the UFC, and now I guess the fight's coming up.
We talked to Joe Rogan about it. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, because there's both sides of the story. On one side, you got John Jones, who's the champion, and then has to change and fight somebody else on an 8-day notice.
That he hasn't really prepared for.
Right, that's not ideal.
Right.
And yet he's the champion, so he should fight. So what are you going to do?
Right.
So anyway, Dana White will be here. Very excited about that. I don't know if you've heard about the new Bob Dylan album.
No.
First of all, I can't believe that there's a new album from Bob Dylan. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, you know,
he should be done.
You don't make Muhammad Ali box. Let's, right?
That's a nice comparison.
He's had his time.
Yeah.
Apparently he has a 14-minute song about, I don't know, about Bigfoot. What is it? Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
It's some
the Titanic.
Shipwreck. Yeah,
the
that's
Titanic.
It. That's it.
A 14-minute song with 46 verses and no choruses.
I actually remember now. I have some friends who have tickets to his show at the Greek
Poor
and are
bastards.
Now trying to sell the tickets after they heard the album. They do not want to go.
Well, Bob has seen better days.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to take your calls on what rock bottom is. At what point did you rock bottom when we're talking about abuse of certain drugs and alcohol?
Okay.
So everybody has a different rock bottom. For example, Beer Mug woke up in a bush.
Yes, he did.
The day after St. Patrick's Day. And I'm in a bush.
He was supposed to be here.
Yes.
He was in a bush.
And we found that out when he woke up at about 9.
Yeah.
So I'm in a bush. But that was not rock bottom for him. He was fine. That was just a blip. It was nothing. So we are going to take your calls if you've hit rock bottom and where that rock bottom is. We have... We have the great candy corn debate. We're tired of hearing Bean talk about the candy corn. And we brought in the candy corn.
Yeah,
Oreos.
Yeah. Chip bought it yesterday. I saw it. That bag is light, by the way. That's BS. If you pick that bag up.
Yeah, there's nothing to it.
There's not much in there.
Oh, no. That's true of all good foods.
Yeah.
Of all sugar.
Not regular Oreos.
Sugar cereal, everything else. It's all just half air. So that's coming up as well. And LaQuisha will take a look at Keeping Up with the Kardashians just after the top of the hour. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Ralph is here for a look at the showbiz beat, and then we've got LaQuisha taking a look at Sunday night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Radio, I'm going to start the morning off right by giving away some free tickets to a very special K-Rock advanced screening of a movie that looks terrific. It's called The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Movies in theaters everywhere on Friday, September the 21st. You'll get to see it Thursday the 20th at the Landmark as our guest if you'd like to attend. 1-800-
yeah!
520-1067 is the number to call. First three callers at that number will get a pair of tickets to see Emma Watson. Of course, the delicious Emma Watson from the Harry Potter movies and Paul Rudd. And the story of an introvert freshman in high school who's taken under the wings of two seniors who welcome him to the real world. The Perks of Being a Wallflower is the name of the film, so call now if you'd like to go. While we're talking about Emma Watson, star of the Harry Potter movies, she is a dangerous woman.
Why?
Because she will make your computer blow up.
Really?
Yeah. McAfee, one of the top lists in cyber protection, has released their list of the most dangerous celebrities to search for online. As you can imagine, McAfee found that women are more dangerous than men because women are bad.
Or women are beautiful.
Bad men set up terrible things on their websites.
Oh, that may be the case, too. Yeah, apparently they know that dudes are out there looking for chicks, especially celebrities, and so they bury their viruses and other malware inside of these faux sites in order to lure unsuspecting web surfers into sites filled with software that can steal their passwords and personal information. So if you search for, excuse me, Emma Watson, it gives you a 1 in 8 chance of landing on a malicious site.
Wow.
Yep.
1 in 8.
1 in 8. If you search for 8 times, one of those sites is going to give you cyber herpes.
Is there a cure for that?
If you add the words free downloads and nude pictures to the name, you're much more likely to run into problems than if you just search her by name. So if you say, oh, I want to see nude pictures of Emma Watson, which to the best of my knowledge, there aren't any out there, you will more than likely find yourself in some sort of website that will infect your computer.
Weird that they would choose her, because you think there would be a lot more, you know, women higher profile?
Well, she's in one of the most successful movie franchises of all time.
Yeah. Kate Upton? Just saying.
Well, it's a combination of things, Kevin. You're taking the name of the person they find most people search for. And so Emma Watson, I'm sure, is searched for much more than Kate Upton.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Just out of sheer fame and popularity.
That's craziness talking.
Okay, I'm not talking
you're not
to Kevin
doing
anymore.
Your job.
I'm trying to get logic out here.
If you've gone crazy or something, I mean, if you've gone crazy, I'm just saying, that's something I need to know about. Okay? I mean, that affects me.
You need that to be longer, that clip. That'd be good.
I could add to it.
Here's the top 10 most dangerous cyber celebrities. If you're searching for these people, you're running a risk of getting infected. Emma Watson, as I mentioned, was number one. Sofia Vergara was 10th. Salma Hayek, 9th. Cameron Diaz was 8th. Shakira was 7th. I wonder if that's if she's shot up the top 10 since that rumored sex tape was talked about this week. Megan Fox, 6th. Halle Berry, 5th. Selena Gomez was 4th. Eva Mendez was 3rd. Who do you think Jessica... Oh. I was going to ask you.
I don't know.
Jessica Biel landed at number 2. I was going to ask you, where do you think Jessica Biel landed? But I only gave you number 2 left. Those are your most dangerous cyber celebrities if you're looking on the internet. The only one man was in the top 20 this year. Only one man.
Hmm.
You have any guesses as to who that was?
Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling.
Do you think that's it?
No, it's not him.
Oh. Tom. No.
Tom?
Cruise?
Tom?
Tom?
Tom? Tom Club?
Yeah.
No.
Nope. Who?
Jimmy Kimmel.
What?
You're kidding.
Jimmy Kimmel.
People want to see naked pictures
list.
Of him?
I don't know if you know or
this
not.
This is just searches, not naked.
If you search for Jimmy Kimmel, you are likely to get yourself a malware website that will infect your computer.
That's a bummer.
Probably set up by Jimmy himself, if I know anything about him.
I don't know how any of Kevin's computers are still working.
I need to go right now and go erase my history.
Yeah.
Will that help?
Nope.
Oh.
Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively got married over the weekend. We talked about this yesterday. What we didn't know was who their wedding singer was.
Who was it?
It was a young lady by the name of Florence Welch.
No kidding.
You may know her as the singer of Florence and the Machine. She hopped up on stage and sang 3 songs live
for
Ryan
cool.
and Blake. When you have that kind of coin, I guess you can have Florence sing at your wedding.
Can have the whole city. If you have enough money, you can have
Florence,
the whole city.
Italy?
I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying?
It's also the name of a city.
Fie, yo!
I'm glad you got what he was saying. I didn't even understand it.
I'm sorry. I mean, how often? I mean, oh man, nobody thinks that's funny?
No.
No pilot.
Even more star-studded than Ryan and Blake's wedding, perhaps, was the funeral for Michael Clark Duncan. He was laid to rest yesterday morning at Forest Lawn Cemetery here in Los Angeles. Dozens of fans showed up, and many of his celebrity friends, like Tom Hanks,
Vivica A. Fox, Holly Robinson Pete, and Jay Leno were all in attendance. Sad news.
Yeah, very.
But it was a nice send-up, apparently. And Katy Perry and John Mayer.
Now what?
Their whirlwind love affair is back on, Lisa.
On again. Every other day.
They probably don't ever break up. They just go do something else.
Yeah. Do someone else. People Magazine's reporting that Katy flew to see John in Vegas last weekend. They had a very romantic evening together, according to sources, including a trip to Spearmint Rhino.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, two of them went to a strip club together, so.
That is romantic.
That's when you know it's love.
Yes.
When you go to a strip club, you do not expect to see Katy Perry.
No.
My penis would be torn between who's in the audience and who's on stage.
That's crazy.
You don't want your penis torn.
No.
And this Amanda Bynes.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear her?
Yes.
Last Sunday.
Wait, they just took her license away.
Yeah, right. So she's driving around with no license.
Oh, what a
Sunday,
idiot.
Cops pull her over for driving around Sunday night with no headlights on.
What?
Driving in the dark without her headlights.
You think she was trying to hide?
I don't know.
Just too dumb to turn them on?
Too dumb or too whatever to turn them on.
Wow.
Does it say that she was drunk or something?
It doesn't say.
They throw in jail?
No, because cops pulled her over and gave her a verbal warning.
What?
Cop said, you know, your lights aren't on. She said, oh, I didn't know. Blah, blah, blah. And then
what?
The cop said, all right, well, turn your lights on. Be careful out there, and sent her away. He never bothered to ask for her license.
Oh, she's so lucky.
So she never had to present it, which would have set off a whole chain of circumstances.
And how does this story come out then?
I have no idea how TMZ got the story, but apparently...
She's so
Have you ever
lucky.
Been pulled over, even when you get let off of a ticket? Have you ever been not asked for your ID?
No, I haven't. But I've never been stopped for not having headlights on. Maybe the cops just figured they would just give her the heads up. I mean, sometimes.
Wow.
I'm sure people are driving around with the headlights on just
absentmindedly.
You forgot to turn them on, or the car was running, you went to a store or something, you turned them off, and you got back in the car. So maybe the cop just figured she just needed a little heads up, so...
Wow.
She lucked out enormously considering she's facing two counts of hit and run from separate accidents. So.
Hot mess.
Hot mess.
Indeed.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ludacris. He's 35 years old today. Guitarist John Buckland of the band Coldplay celebrates his 35th birthday. Jeremy Popoff of Lit is 41. Taraji P. Henson. Very talented actress. She was in one of those Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And Benjamin Button, 42 years old. Singer Harry Connick Jr. is 45 years old. Moby, 47. He's a weird little dude,
that
Moby. And actress Virginia Madsen, one of my favorites from Sideways and American Dreams, many feature films. She is 51 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are a liar and a liar. And you lie.
Wrong. And you're wrong about that,
Such
too.
Big liar.
Wait, are we on? What's going on here?
Yes, we're on.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 624.
Blah, 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 blah. Look, today is the happiest day of all time.
Yeah, but you're 50-50 on it.
First of all, I should mention officially for the record, since I got cut off a little bit earlier this morning, Raiders lost last night to kick off the 2012 campaign, so you know that makes me really happy. In their defense, they did score a touchdown in the final minute of the game, so all is not lost for Raider Nation, so suck it. Okay, secondly, last Thursday I was tipped off to a new product that would be unveiled this weekend, and I guess it's in Target stores nationwide now, called Candy Corn Oreos. And I am so excited about this.
No, you're 50-50 on it.
No. I'm 50-50 on whether it's going to taste good or not. I'm 100% excited on buying it and trying it and hoping that it's great. I don't know whether it's a taste combination that's going to work, but I will tell you this. I love Oreos, and I love candy corn. And
no
I think
one loves candy corn.
Oh, candy corn blows.
What are you talking about? Candy corn is the Halloween sensation.
It's not a sensation at all. It's something that's foisted upon us every year, whether we like it or not. But no one goes out of their way, hey, where's candy corn the rest of the year? It's March. I'm dying for some candy corn. What's wrong with those candy corn manufacturers? They can't just tease me with it once a year and then not sate my hunger for candy corn.
How is it you think that millions of pounds of candy corn are sold every single year?
They're
people
not.
Don't buy
they
it
were sold
like
the first year, and then every year after that, they start giving it away in their bags.
No.
And then the kids don't
want
to eat it, so they put it in the jar.
As Lewis Black said.
Like Halloween. That's why.
As Lewis Black said about candy corn.
The worst thing about Halloween is, of course, candy corn. It's unbelievable to me. Candy corn is the only candy in the history of America that's never been advertised. And there's a reason. All of the candy corn that was ever made was made in 1911. And so, since nobody eats that stuff, every year there's a ton of it left over. And the candy corn company sends the guys to the villages and they collect out of the dumpsters all the candy corn we've thrown away. They wash it. They wash it. I'll never forget the first time my mother gave me candy corn. She said, here, Louis, this is candy corn. It's corn that tastes like candy. This tastes like crap.
Yeah, exactly, Lou. Exactly.
Look, I love Lewis Black, and I think that's hilarious. But again, they make and sell millions of pounds a year from people who buy it not as decoration. People buy it to eat it because they like it.
It was such a sensation. They would sell it all year long and make a lot of money on people eating it all year long because it's the best candy in the world. But you know what? They don't. They throw it out on the one time of the year where people can be fooled enough to buy a bag of candy corn, and then they taste it and get this is just human feces and little nuggets. I'm never going to have this again. And then they forget about it, and then a year rolls around and go, all right, I'll try it again, and they taste it again.
What is your feeling on
it? It's like M&M's. Do they sell M&M's once a year? No, they sell it all year long because people love M&M's.
That's true. No, but you know what they do sell this time of year, though? Candy corn M&M's. Those are available now, too, by the way. What is your thought as we prepare to try the candy corn Oreos, which, again, available at Target stores nationwide? What is your thought on what this is going to be like?
It's going to be a really good cookie that has now been tainted with human feces.
Yeah, I don't think we can say that. We can't really say that.
That's the new name for it.
But you can't say the name for it.
That's what Nabisco's now calling it on the shelves.
Now, you sniffed it already, and you think it doesn't smell good.
It doesn't smell good. Here's one for you, man.
Let's all try. I'm going to open mine up, too.
One for you, Ralph.
Thank you.
That does smell really weird.
Doesn't it smell just like nasty?
It's like a hospital cookie. You know when they serve you your meal in a hospital? And they put it on the plate, and everything's sort of low rent. It's like they got all the food they serve you at the hospital comes out of the 99-cent store. And you've got like
99-cent store dumpster.
It's like faux food that it looks sort of similar to food that you get, but you can tell it's not exactly the brand name version. And then the cookies they put in the corner of the tray, that's what they smell like. They're hospital cookies.
You know how you get
Lisa.
Hydrox when your mom is trying to save
that's
money?
What I'm talking about.
This is like Hydrox? A crappy Hydrox.
Right. It's like a low-rent cookie that's sort of trying to pretend to be an Oreo, but it's not quite.
Now, before we bite in here, are you...
Too late. Kevin's already munching.
He's already tried it. Are you automatically against the golden Oreos because they're not the OG Oreos? Because I love golden Oreos.
I
we don't care
them.
About OG versus whatever. We care about candy corn, and candy corn sucks. All right. Are you twisting and eating it half by half, or are you just biting into the cookie altogether?
I'm just biting it.
I'll eat it in the regular way.
Like a human being.
What's wrong with you?
If I love a cookie, I'll eat it that way.
Because I scrape the stuff off from the inside first is what I do. All right. Here we go.
That's a great story.
All right. I'm going to taste it.
Candy corn Oreo.
Oh, for F's sake.
Bean hates it.
Bean knows it sucks.
Bean hates it.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my God. You can taste the coloring.
It's toothpaste.
It's not. You know what it isn't? Candy corn.
It tastes like toothpaste.
It's not. Oh
you know what
God.
It ta- you know what it actually
oh,
tastes
the
like?
The aftertaste, sweet Jesus. You're never going to scrape that off your tongue.
It tastes like the birthday cake Oreos. Have you guys ever had birthday
cake
Oreos?
Stop it.
That's another flavor. That's what it tastes like. Well, that is a disappointment.
That is just a bag full of ass.
that is
just as expected.
That is not a good use of an Oreo cookie. The president of the UFC, Dana White, joins us later this morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Also, the beautiful actress Sarah Shahi, who's on that Fairly Legal show and also the cover of the new Maxim magazine for October. She joins us, too. And we've got more tickets you can win to go see Rise Against and Gaslight Anthem at the Honda Center. That's a lot of show coming up here on K-Rock.
This will surprise nobody, but there is a movie that is going to be made about Joe Paterno, the former coach of Penn State, and that whole scandal. And they have announced an actor. Ralph told us, I believe yesterday, that Al Pacino has been cast to play Coach Joe Paterno.
I think that's good casting. I can totally see that. They seem very similar in terms of their look and manner. But let me ask you this. Would a movie have been made about Joe Paterno if it had not been for the scandal?
I believe so.
Maybe,
don't
but,
you think? I mean, he's
maybe,
so famous.
Maybe, but it's a lot more interesting story the way it happened.
And sadder.
In a bad way, yeah.
Yeah, because for people who don't know, Joe Paterno is the guy who was part of the Penn State football program for what, like 60 years or something like that?
He was God there.
He was the most beloved man in that part of the United States. And he, you know, had a stellar five-star, everybody loved him, godlike career until really the last few months when it came out that he was aware of the sexual abuse that was going on with one of his coaches there at Penn State University and didn't do anything about it. So he died of cancer before, I guess, before that trial happened. But, yeah, it's a crazy story, and it will forever alter the way people think about the coach. And I don't know what that's going to mean for Al Pacino and the way he plays it, but we asked producer Dave, is there any chance we could get our old pal Al back on the phone? And sure enough, Oscar-winning actor Joe Paterno, Al Pacino, rather, playing Joe Paterno.
Wow, this here, is Joe Paterno?
Here in heaven, here on the phone with us. Hi, Al, how are you?
Ooh-ah.
Ooh-ah to you as well, sir.
Oh, I got to tell you. You guys are confusing me.
You
I don't know
about
whether
that.
I'm Joe Paterno or I'm Al Pacino.
Well, you're Al Pacino. Yes, oh, you're the actor Al Pacino.
That's good.
And you're playing Joe Paterno in the film.
Yeah, yeah, I can't wait to sink my teeth into this role. Ooh-ah! I tell you, this is a hell of a story.
Yeah.
And this is going to be great. And I'm hanging out here at Penn State, watching a practice of football, just soaking it in, baby.
Sure. Now, have you given any thought to how you're going to portray Mr. Paterno? Because, you know, he's kind of a bad guy, but at the same time, he's revered and treated like a hero for 99.9% of his life.
Well, most people are complex.
Right.
Different sides. Them. They got the good side and the bad side.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm gonna be as fair as I can. And come on now with the boy ass.
Is that going to be your slogan?
I think I'm working on that catchphrase for the film.
Like-
hey, false start in the boy ass.
Oh, all right. Oh, come on.
Well, you're doing some coaching.
Doing some coaching. Got my whistle. And
they're letting you coach as well?
Offside, the boy genitals.
come on.
Trying to make some calls, see what's going on.
Why do you suppose it is, Al, as you delve into this story, that Mr. Paterno, who knew what was going on with Jerry Sandusky there in the program, why do you suppose he didn't do more to stop it? Why didn't he go, you know, up to the president of the university or to the police or wherever he needed to stop that abuse?
Well, that's what we're going to be delving into in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What was the man's motivations for being quiet? Personal foul, touching boy pee-pee.
Come on,
I'm just trying to get in the spirit of things.
What are the players doing when you shout stuff like that?
They're looking at me all strange.
Really? What like, a surprise.
Why is that guy with the orange skin yelling at us?
Imagine so.
Yeah. Hey, grab that tight end. Tackle that tight end.
Right.
Got some boys running around here.
Yeah.
Ooh-ah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you're the right choice now, Al. It concerns me how...
All right, hit the showers. Uh-oh. Everybody grab a boy.
Come on.
Remember how I was hoping Kevining would go away?
Yeah.
first day, yeah. Day one.
Right.
Die right off.
How's that working for you?
Not well.
Huh.
The gallery is getting bigger and bigger by the day.
As well it should.
It is absurd.
Ralph, have you seen Jimmy Kimmel's picture? His Kevining.
I have not seen Jimmy's Kevining yet. No.
Oh, he loves it so much. And it's such a great one. He really does capture the essence of our boy Kevin in his photo. It's fantastic.
We had a gentleman who's a remarkably talented artist send in an artist rendering of Kevining too.
Oh, which is, wow.
So we're starting to get it's starting to expand beyond just photography. It's reaching all the fine arts now. I'm expecting we'll get a sculpture and then
Kevining the movie,
painting the movie. Yes, this is going to be a cottage industry.
Well, what happened briefly for folks who haven't been with us the last few days is that Kevin took a photo for a poster that they put up at the Arc Light in the Valley. And
which I love.
I don't know. They caught him at a funky moment, I guess. Or,
yes.
Or maybe he usually looks like that and he just doesn't know it. But
that's my fear.
And it's hilarious with what he's doing with his face, what he's doing with his hands, how he's holding himself and his body. And we are asking you to take your pictures and send them on in. You'll find all the details on the front page of kevinandbean.com. Send in your photo. Be part of the gallery, and you can join people from all over the world who are enjoying Kevining.
King of Mexico is putting up the Jimmy Kimmel picture in about 10 minutes.
Oh, great.
Oh, fantastic. You guys are going to love it. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean show at 6:51.
It is Tuesday. That means we've got new CDs, new DVDs, and new TV shows on DVD available for your entertainment. Dollar. Here are the new releases. Coexist by the XX. New CD that drops today. Tempest by Bob Dylan. A new Bob Dylan CD.
There it is.
What are you talking about? There it is.
Let me tell you something. The new Bob Dylan CD is to music what candy corn Oreos are to snack foods.
That's true.
How dare you?
That's correct.
Being super excited about it until he gets it, and then he's going to listen to it and go, oh, well, that's a disappointment.
No, I'm really, I mean, look, the man has been on fire the last 15 years or so. He's doing some great, great work. I'm very excited about this new album.
He's a scary old man.
He is.
That's all I know.
Away From the World, the deluxe version by Dave Matthews Band, and The Carpenter by the Abbott Brothers are your new CDs. On DVD, Snow White and the Huntsman. Get to see the movie that caused the breakdown of K-Stew and R-Pats. Kristen Stewart, Charlize Theron, and Chris Hemsworth star. Girl in Progress with Eva Mendes and Matthew Modine. Goats, starring Dave Duchovny. What to Expect When You're Expecting, starring Cameron Diaz, Jennifer Lopez, and Elizabeth Banks. TV shows on DVD. One of my favorites, Castle. The complete fourth season now available on DVD. Big Bang Theory's fifth season is available today. Vampire Diaries, the third season. Spartacus Vengeance, the second season. Sixth season of 30 Rock. And Blue Bloods, season two, available for you fans of Tom Selleck's mustache. Get to see it in all its glory in Blue Bloods. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Amanda Bynes dodged a bullet last Sunday night. She apparently was cruising through Los Angeles without her headlights on. Well, it's not like she has a history of smashing into other cars or anything. She wouldn't want those headlights on to let people see her coming or for her to see oncoming cars. So,
excuse me, Ralph.
Why was she
driving? Didn't she have her license revoked?
Yes, and DMV did pull her license. I guess Amanda figures she doesn't need one to drive.
Why did they pull it?
For hitting cars. For two counts of hit and run on separate accidents that she has now been charged with.
So now they pulled her over because she was driving with her lights off.
Yes. And officials tell TMZ.com she got very lucky because she just got a verbal warning. Saying, hey, your lights are off. Turn those on. Go about your business. They never bothered to ask her for her license. Had they asked, they would have realized that her license was, in fact, suspended.
Should have given him a crayon one.
Yes. Piece of carbon paper with some whiteout on it with her page, her picture on it. So she dodged a bullet. She could have got into very serious trouble if they had busted her for driving on a suspended license.
She's not very smart, is she?
Someone needs to take her keys is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Let's just put her in a box someplace. One of those Lucite boxes that that the magician used to bury himself in Times Square. What was that guy's name?
David Blaine.
Yeah. Let's put her in one of those just Lucite boxes and just keep her safe. Joe Francis, douchebag, millionaire, Girls Gone Wild creator, of course, and good friend of Scott Disick, as we learned from LaQuisha just moments ago. He lost his lawsuit with casino mogul Steve Wynn yesterday. This is a great story. Joe Francis started shooting off his mouth saying he had a $2 million gambling debt that he owed Steve Wynn, and Steve Wynn threatened to kill me because I haven't paid it back in time. He's threatening my life because I haven't paid back my gambling debt. Like
really?
Line of credit at the Wynn Encore casinos.
They still do it that way?
No, they don't. Hmm. Turns out at all. In fact, Steve Wynn said, excuse me, we don't do it that way anymore. And he's saying I am threatening to kill him, and I would like to sue him for that. So Steve slapped Joe Francis with a $12 million lawsuit.
Fantastic. And Steve can afford to take as much time as it takes in court.
He's got lawyers for days. Too. No worries. Wynn asked for $12 million in his lawsuit. The jury, however, did not see it that way. They awarded him $20 million for his lawsuit.
That's the best.
Awesome. So not enough.
Joe Francis now owes Steve Wynn $22 million, I'm guessing, if you factor in that original gambling debt.
Ouch.
And if he doesn't pay, he should kill him. That's what I'm saying.
This was an interesting trial because I guess there were people around when Joe Francis started mouthing off, right?
Yeah.
About all this, and they brought witnesses like Quincy Jones and people like that to the stand who said, no, Steve Wynn never said that. I was there that night, and he never said anything like that, and on and on and on, and it just buried the kid. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good news. Katy Perry and John Mayer, their whirlwind love affair continues. People Magazine reports that Katy flew to see John in Vegas last weekend, and they hit up the Spearmint Rhino. That's where they spent their evening.
You know how many times I've been to that Spearmint?
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Never saw Katy Perry there once.
Katy Perry never showed up.
I just want to watch Katy Perry get a lamp dance from another stripper. I don't even have to be involved.
Agreed.
I just want to witness it. Witness the magic. And while we're talking about people who like to party, Kiefer Sutherland, he's a guy who has it right. He has a severe alcohol problem, allegedly. and he was getting in trouble driving. Remember, he went inside for a DUI while they were filming 24.
That's
and he
right.
chose to do it over the Christmas holiday so that the cast and crew of 24 wouldn't lose out on any time on the series. He took it during his holiday break from filming that series, which I thought was a very straight-up move on his
part.
Yeah,
no kidding. Totally.
And what he's done now is he is continuing to drink. He just doesn't drive anymore. He's got himself a driver that takes him everywhere he wants to go. But he's refusing to give up the bottle. God bless him. This is my boy
That's
right here.
That's the way to do it.
He's the best.
Kiefer's my man. He was in West Hollywood over the weekend, apparently at a nightclub, partying it up. And he thought it would be hilarious to wait for people to come out of the men's room and grab their faces and start to smush them.
What?
He thought smushing people's faces would be funny. And it is, by the way.
That's the
if you grab someone's face as they're coming out of the restroom and start swooshing it up and smooshing their cheeks together and everything, that is funny. However, some people don't like to be manhandled.
No, I imagine not.
Apparently, one gentleman balled up his fist and was ready to pummel Kiefer when Kiefer looked at him, hightailed, turned around, hightailed, and ran out of the bar.
Love it.
So the legend of Kiefer Sutherland continues to loom large.
Do you remember, Ralph, the documentary that he made about his record label? Remember he had that Rocco DeLuca, that very talented artist? He came on to promote it on our show.
Yes.
And they shot that documentary of him touring, and I think he was in Scandinavia or something, and Kiefer Sutherland decided he was really drunk in this video. He decided he was going to wrestle a Christmas tree. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. I remember that footage.
On top of the Christmas tree and started rolling around in the crowd with it. And I thought, I want to party with Kiefer Sutherland.
He's the most fun. He is the most fun.
Everything is funny when you're drinking.
He likes scotch. scotch in his belly. And Simon Cowell has announced he will pay for Britney Spears' wedding to her fiancé, Justin Trawick.
Really?
If she gets married on The X Factor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a little caveat to that. I don't think Britney's going to take that deal, but it's a nice offer anyway.
When does Chloe start?
They haven't finalized it yet. That's the rumor. They said it's like an 85% done deal, but it's not official yet. I'm sure they will make a big announcement once she has been tapped to host that show. You got to watch that initially, right?
Oh, you got to train wreck.
See Chewie out there,
yeah,
without Han Solo trying to read a teleprompter.
There's got to be a full-time electrolysis crew on board for the X Factor when she starts, right?
The sandblasting crew. They just come in to sandblast the hair off her. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Virginia Madsen is 51 years old today. Musician Moby turns 47. Harry Connick Jr., actor, singer, piano player, 45 years old. Taraji P. Henson, very talented actress, is 42. Jeremy Popoff of Lit is 41. John Buckland from Coldplay, 35 years old, as is Ludacris today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Oh, I'm only sad we don't have time to listen to Beer Mug interviewing Fun on the MTV Red Carpet the other day. That was so good. Sarah Shahi is going to be joining us later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and the president himself, Mr. Dana White. This was a great story that Ralph did in the showbiz news a couple of days ago about Bradley Cooper, heartthrob Bradley Cooper, who, you know, now you see him, and there's no guy who looks more put together than this guy, who looks healthier, looks stronger, looks happier, who's more talented, who's dating the hottest chicks in Hollywood. I mean, this guy, you look at him and you go, he's got it all, right? Apparently that wasn't always the case. Apparently he used to have quite a dark past, Lisa, very addicted to some sort of drugs or alcohol. I don't think they say in the article which one. But he talked about how he hit rock bottom and how he realized that he had to shape up or he was going to die. And I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with in the world of addiction. Maybe I should defer to Kevin on this one. But tell me about that rock bottom. Tell me about that. Because I've heard you come in a thousand Mondays, Kevin, yeah, and say, I'm never drinking again.
Right. But that's not a real rock bottom. A real rock bottom is one where you change your life entirely. And I've never had that. But we thought it would be interesting to take calls from people on what was your rock bottom. Psycho Mike, who used to work with us.
Yes.
I believe he died three times.
That's what I think.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
He's
had a wake-up call.
Incredible stories. And so when he told
once,
us that, yeah, not
dead
enough.
Once you go, wow, I was dead. Maybe that's your rock bottom. No.
No. I should cut back a little.
death two? Nope. Third death. Finally, he said, remember? You know what? This might be hurting me.
Wasn't he in Paris where he woke up in another hotel that he'd never been in before without
city?
His pants?
Yes.
Yes. That's right.
No money.
But,
yeah.
That's right.
But for most people, that's not quite rock bottom.
And this is, and we should have, and we're going to take your calls. We want to hear what your rock bottom moment was where you decided, I have to change my life or I am going to die. You can give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We should have arranged to have Dr. Drew on with us on this because obviously he has dealt with this, you know, his whole career treating addictions. But is that what it takes for a lot of people, even if they're aware they have a drug and alcohol problem, they need that final push to, now it's out of my control and it's not something that I can just ignore and go out and party again this weekend?
It's ruining my life.
Bradley Cooper, in the story, says, I was at a party and deliberately bashing my head on the concrete floor and saying, hey, look how tough I am.
He's a bad drunk.
He was banging his head on the cement floor. And they had to take him to the hospital because he was bleeding.
He could have brain damage.
Maybe I shouldn't be doing all of this. Yeah. So about 7 years ago, he got sober. And he credits that for him being alive today.
Look how tough I am. And I came up and blood was dripping down. And then I did it again. I spent the night at St. Vincent's Hospital with a sock of ice waiting for them to stitch me up. Yeah, I would imagine that's when you have to go to yourself. I'm not doing myself any favors. This is not the rocket ride to a happy long life. But yeah, being sober, I mean, I guess it's like quitting smoking. All the people in the world can tell you, hey, you have to quit smoking. Right. Hey, that's not good for you. Hey, don't do it. But until you've made the decision that now this is a priority, now I am going to make it my number one mission in life to quit smoking, nothing's going to work, right? You have to believe in it and you have to want it. And some people, maybe most people, need that rock bottom experience before they're willing to walk away.
And everybody's is different. Let's start with Maria, who's got a rock bottom. Hi, Maria.
How's it going?
Good, thank
Good.
You.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to share my experience since I just love doing that, people.
Yes, please.
It's good for people to hear people's rock bottoms so that way they can learn that, you know.
Right. And what was yours?
Well, I was conned for actually two different 5150s that led to a 5250.
All right. How about that in English? For those of us who aren't on a police radio, what is that all about?
That's DUI, isn't it?
5150 is danger to self and danger to others.
Oh, psychological hold.
Yeah.
What's a 5250?
Is when you don't pass that psychological hold and you have to be there for until you can prove your sanity.
Wow. Well, when they picked you up to take you in for the 5150, what were you doing?
To tell you the truth, I don't quite remember. Apparently, I was dancing in the street. I might have been doing that.
Wow. What were you addicted to?
Well, crystal meth. I was really into it. Like, I was really insane. Like, I was going nutty.
Well, because it's awesome.
Says, this is her rock bottom, Bean.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. How long ago did all this happen for you, Maria?
This was over 6 years ago. I have, like, 6 years off of meth. So.
Congratulations.
And how are you doing? Are you off of other things, too? Are you completely clean and sober?
I do drink on occasion.
Right, mm-hmm. But no drugs?
No drugs. Actually, I was huge on pot, too. I tried that again, but it just wasn't the same, so I just put everything all together.
Yeah, pot not really the same effect as meth.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I'm so glad you called. Congratulations on 6 years of staying off the hard stuff. I'm really, really happy to hear that. But, I mean, like you said, you know, share this story, but I don't know that it helps other people, because it seems like everybody needs their own rock bottom. It seems like people hear other people's rock bottoms most of the time, and they go, yeah, but that's you. I'm fine. I can handle it, right, until they can't.
Yeah, well, I'm actually a drug counselor now, and I hear a lot of people, like, a lot of their stories, and it doesn't take the small rock bottoms. It takes a huge one. Like, for me, I was already, like, in a loony bin, and then, like, I was losing my mind. So I was forced to get sober by court, but that actuality was just way too much for me. And I was young. I was like, no, I'm not going to take this route. So that's why I try to tell my clients, like, you have to learn from your experiences. Don't dwell on them, you know? Just learn that you could have been dead so many times and just live life. You're so young. People that are even in their 40s and 50s, I tell them, you still have a good life ahead of you. Like, what are you doing, you know?
Well, let's not lie to them. Not all of them do.
Thank you, Maria. We appreciate the call. Let's do Armando real quick. He's on line four, joining us at 1-800-520-1067. Bradley Cooper shared his rock bottom with The Hollywood Reporter. We're asking you to share yours with The Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Armando.
Sorry, I can't get Armando. They're on the line in the other room.
Armando, don't do that to us.
It's not him. It's us.
Armando's a bad person. Hey, guys, get up line four. Drugs again. All right, we can take a break and come back and catch up with Armando after this then. And your calls too. 1-800-520-1067. Maura on the Kevin and Bean Show next. Talking about when you hit your rock bottom, when you knew it was time for you to give it up. Give up the partying and the drinks and the drugs and get clean and sober to save your life. We were talking about actor Bradley Cooper. He gave his story to the Hollywood Reporter recently. Talked about how he was smashing his head up against the pavement. We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go back to our man Armando, who really had a wake-up call. Armando, thanks so much for calling and for holding on, man. Sorry we had some trouble getting to you before, but what happened?
Kevin and Bean, how's it going? I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I was addicted to money. That was the worst part. You know, I was a drug dealer that was just out there making sure that everybody was hooked on whatever I was selling.
Right.
And then having been addicted to money, everybody that's around you always wanted a little piece of your action, wanted a little piece of the pie. You know, so there was always deals going bad. You know, I had deals go so bad that I ended up getting me shot, stabbed. Mm. I ended up having two brain surgeries. My last brain surgery was in 2002. I got hit with a bat in the head.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second, though. Got shot, not a bottom out, stabbed, not a bottom, two brain surgeries, not bottom?
Yeah, exactly. And it's horrible because now I'm working two jobs and supporting my family when before I was working no job and I felt like I was on top of the world, like a mini Scarface.
Yeah. So, Armando, we were expecting people to call in with their stories of breaking an addiction to drugs and alcohol. That wasn't your problem. You're talking about an addiction to money, making easy money illegally.
Yeah, exactly. And that was horrible because now you look back and at all the people that you did get hooked up and did hit rock bottom because of you. So now it just makes it that much even worse for me.
Right.
I got to tell you, I don't know what to tell kids and you see this on TV all the time, and I know that it actually goes on in real communities as well. When they look at the way of life you're describing, Armando, that is so much easier and so much lucrative than the straight and narrow path. I mean, that's a very tough choice for a lot of young people to make.
Yeah, it is. It is a very tough choice. You know, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. It's a 24/7 thing. You're going to have to be constantly watching your back, and, you know, not even family's trustworthy because the person that ended up stabbing me was a family member, you know, and it was over money, you know, and that's horrible. To me, that was my rock bottom, and, you know, I'm glad I'm over it, and I'll never look back. It's on my rear view.
I'm glad. Wow. Thank you, Armando.
Sound like a good man. We appreciate the call. Thanks so much. From the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, here's Bobby writes in, I bashed my head against a car and then the pavement on my wedding night. That was my wake-up call. That's the worst honeymoon ever.
Wow. Oh, man.
Enrique says, I never was addicted, but what led me to not ever becoming like that was my dad overdosing three times.
Oh,
all three
man.
Times I left him in the hospital hoping he would die. I never wanted to be like that. Dude, this is not a laugh fest, is it?
No.
are drugs and alcohol not funny? I thought they were funny.
No, they're funny, but rock bottom isn't.
Rock bottom is not funny.
No.
All right, let's go to Mary. She's on line three. Mary had a problem with alcohol that did not lead her in good directions. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
So for me, I was drinking a lot. I was having a great time at first, drinking on almost every weekend. It led to every day, and it led to the partying, going beyond partying. Partying wasn't enough. So I started having friends that, you know, the more that we drank, the crazier we got, and eventually one thing led to another, and threesomes started coming about. It became almost like a regular thing.
You said threesomes.
I was having threesomes, and, you know, and that I would never, ever have done had I been sober. I would have never even considered it.
Right.
But it wasn't just, once. It started happening more frequently. I started enjoying it. And, you know, when I was sober, I would feel ashamed of it. But when I was drinking, it's what I would look for.
Then you should never have sobered up.
I don't think that's the point.
What? The point is she's having a great time having tons of random hot sex while she's drinking. Then she sobers up and hates it. You tell me where the problem is in that equation.
I felt ashamed of it. You know, I felt ashamed of it. Like, I would not go into a relationship and say to somebody, hey, this is, you know, what my past was like.
Right.
I started looking on sites to find sex partners.
So you were a girl who was going onto the internet looking for random sex to have with strangers, and that's how you knew you'd been drinking too much.
When I was drinking, when I would drink, I would just go on sites to try to find partners.
How about that?
There were many sites. clubs that had orgies, you know, and, you know, all of a sudden I'm hearing all these words that I had never heard, like, you know, golden showers and...
Right, sure. We know the words.
We know those.
We've heard them. It started to get weird. Was there a specific morning that you woke up and that was it? You said, that's it, no more. Was there an actual, like, demarcation walk-away point?
Yeah, I think it was the fact that, you know, I had gone to the site and actually searched for someone and met up with them. And I think just taking that risk and going to meet someone that you really didn't know and... Yeah. Know anything about. I think it pretty much scared the crap out of me. And then I thought about it, and I said it wasn't worth it. And so
that was it, huh? How long's it been, Mary?
Now it's been 5 years.
Five years.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
Well, yeah, I would like to celebrate that by taking you out for a drink.
That's great.
Is Ms. Shahi here yet?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Just break into whatever we're doing. If anyone sees Sarah Shahi, run her immediately into the studio. I don't care if we're in the middle of a sentence. Get that woman in here. It's coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday. Kevin, why do you hate?
Well, be more specific.
Why do you hate Bob Dylan?
Because he can't sing.
That's a good point.
He's a crappy singer. Is there a worse singer? In history, is there a worse singer?
DMX is worse.
Oh, please.
DMX is worse. His voice has not aged well. He is a man who's in his 70s, and he sounds like he's maybe in his 170s. But he's a legend. It's hard to overstate the contribution he's made to American music
history.
But let's face it.
Muhammad Ali doesn't box anymore. I'm just saying.
That's true. His 35th studio album is delivered today, kids. It is called Tempest. It's in stores and available for download everywhere. I'm very excited about it. Really looking forward to it. Particularly this one song that I've been reading about called Tempest, the title track. It's all about the Titanic. He's written a song about the sinking of the Titanic.
Finally. Now, that gets some attention.
The Titanic has had dozens, maybe hundreds of songs written about it throughout the years, but I will confess it has been a while since there's been one like this. It's all about the Titanic. It is 14 minutes long.
Oh.
I understand, and again, I haven't heard it yet, but I understand that it has 46 verses and no chorus.
All right, Bean, what do you expect from that? That's going to blow.
I don't know. I mean,
even if you're a fan, that can't sound good to you.
I don't know what to expect, but I do know that Mr. Dylan is on the phone right now, and perhaps he can give us a preview of what this new material sounds like. Hi, Bob. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean is going to the radio this morning.
Whatever you just said, I'm just going to agree with you and welcome you back to the program. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So this new album, Tempest, we're excited to finally hear it.
Yeah, brand new album today. You're going to stand, you're going to line, and you're going to bring it on your own.
Hmm?
I didn't get any of that.
No.
Let's just move on to the title track. Now, can you tell us how you came here in the 21st century to writing a song about the Titanic, which sank 100 years ago?
Yeah, it was a horrible thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a horrible thing.
Yeah, but it was a lot of people died.
It's 100 years ago, though.
Yeah,
right.
They still died.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They did die.
Still a bad thing.
Right.
I mean, it's not bad because it's 100 years ago.
Right, but it's... Having said that,
God damn, have a heart.
I think what Kevin's saying is, why write about it now, though? I mean, it just seems like
that spy was really the Titanic, and the Eagles gone, then all the spirits in the old mine hall and put it out there.
Were you watching the movie? Did the James Cameron movie? You know, it was re-released this year in theaters. Did you go see it there, and that's what inspired you, or what?
There's a movie?
There's 100 movies.
There are a lot of movies, including a very famous one directed by James Cameron about the Titanic. Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Well, listen, I don't have the record yet. I'm driving out and getting it after the store, after the show, I mean. But is there any way you can give us a preview of this song about the Titanic? Because I'm very excited to hear it.
You got 14 minutes?
No.
Well, no, we're not going to hear the whole thing. I just thought maybe you'd throw, you know, a couple of verses at us.
Oh, all right. I'll give you a little of my new song. Tempest.
Great.
There was an iceberg and held it on fire. They crashed right into the iceberg. Captain was a guy, and I think he was Jewish. I believe his name was Weisberg.
Are you just making up words, or is this how...
A lot of people were on that boat, and a lot of them got very soggy.
That's always been done.
They rode to them sad and they went on a boat and they wished that they all had played hockey.
I think you're just making up lyrics
they
now.
They all had dresses and suits and there were hats and they all looked pretty spiffy. When they were singing, they all got upset and none of the men had a stiffy.
That can't be the final version. Come
they
on.
All were going right into the sea and they were drinking water. Then they got in and all couldn't be with their moms and their dads and their daughter.
I may have to order this.
You want more?
Yeah, I think we're going to keep you on all day, Bob. Sarah Shahi from Fairly Legal joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. You probably haven't seen it yet, Ralph, but she's in the new Maxim magazine, the October issue.
Yes.
You might want to check that out if you're a fan of her work at all.
I think he has.
I want to see Fairly Legal coming back.
Yeah, when is it coming back?
I don't know. We got to ask her because I'm dying. I'm dying without my Kate Reed. I adore her.
Yeah, she's great on that show.
I think it wrapped up like in June, so.
Well, let's get back to work.
Let's get back to
get back to work, Sarah Shahi.
Also, Mr. President, Dana White will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour coming up here today on K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD are available for your entertainment dollar. Here are the new releases. Tempest by Bob Dylan. That sounds good, that new album.
That did not sound good to me.
Can't wait to hear some of that.
Wow, it looked bad.
And we only heard like 5 or 6 verses. I think there are 46 verses in that song,
right? I bet it gets better and better as it goes on.
I bet it does.
Coexist by the XX, Dave Matthews Band. Away from the World, new CD. The Carpenter by the Abbott Brothers. Here on DVD, here's some movies you may have missed in the Cineplexes. Snow White and the Huntsman with Kristen Stewart, Charlize Theron, and Chris Hemsworth. I'm going to wait for the Kristen Stewart-less edition. Maybe they'll put that out a couple editions from now.
I have heard that, sorry to interrupt, Ralph, I have heard that there is director commentary on
yes,
the DVD that was,
there is.
That was
Ditter,
shot before.
Ditter, banger, Ditter, Hatter, Ditter.
And apparently it's a little icky because he's talking about how beautiful she is, yeah. how nice she is, how much he likes her, and on and on and on. This course was all recorded before the affair was revealed. So.
How can all of that be said when Charlize Theron is in the movie?
I know.
Great point.
Seriously.
She must have totally shined him, right? Like, she didn't know it had anything to do with him.
Yeah. I heard Snow White and the Huntsman, the extended edition, is something you do not want, but the director's version of that, because he's just got a pup tent. He's just walking around set with a pup tent. Girl in Progress with Eva Mendes and Matthew Modine, Goats starring David Duchovny, and What to Expect When You're Expecting. I expect a crappy movie. Cameron Diaz, Jennifer Lopez, and Elizabeth Banks. TV shows on DVD. Castle has the new season available on box set. Big Bang Theory, Vampire Diaries, Spartacus Vengeance, 30 Rock, and Blue Bloods all have new box sets. If you want to catch up season by season of those shows, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively tied the knot over the weekend. We talked a little bit about that. Got married Sunday night at Boone Hall Plantation in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, just outside of Charleston. What we didn't mention was who their wedding singer was. Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine.
Nice.
Not bad at all. Performed 3 songs live at the event. This guy, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson and then Blake Lively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how he rolls. We were talking about creepy people when we were talking about Bean. And, and also the director of Snow White and the Huntsman. Well, according to Star Magazine, Nicolas Cage has completely creeped out Vanessa Hudgens, his co-star in the movie The Frozen Ground.
Uh-oh.
Vanessa Hudgens, by the way, plays a stripper in that film. You may want to check that out. Word is, he was quite taken by her and would watch her constantly. Even when he wasn't supposed to be on the set, he would show up and watch her film, staring at her from a distance.
Okay.
Ultimately, right. She had to ask producers to keep him away because it was affecting her performance. He kept showing
up in the shadows.
That's weird.
I'm more of a Vanessa protector.
That's weird.
Yeah, that is a little creepy. And usually you take these stories with a grain of salt, but I could totally see Nicolas Cage just sort of hovering around the set, just giving her the,
up in the rafters.
Intense stare.
Your performance is really riveting. I just want to stay here all day and look at you, if you don't mind. My hand in my pocket.
What a creep fest that guy was.
Yeah. Kourtney Kardashian is having problems with her relationship with Scott Disick. Who could see that coming?
Wow. Yeah. Seems like a prize.
So word has it, she is asking her pal Nicole Richie for help in the relationship.
Oh, good.
Nicole has told her to put her foot down with Scott. Tell him he's got to stop his partying ways and he's got to take parenting classes to learn to be a good father. Well, they're two kids in now. Maybe that would have been a good idea before they started getting pregnant, but
better late than never.
Kevin mocks Nicole Richie, but I mean, she did take her own advice. She did quit partying.
She cleaned her life up.
Kind of grew up. She's been in a successful marriage for a number of years. She's, by all accounts, a good mother, so she seems to know what she's talking about.
Yeah. This makes me happy. Joe Francis just lost a whole bunch of money. He had a lawsuit with casino mogul Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn, of course, owns the Wynn and the Encore Resorts in Las Vegas. He took offense that Joe Francis was going around saying that because of the large gambling debt he owned the Wynn properties, $2 million, that Steve Wynn was threatening to kill him. He'd kill him if he didn't pay him back. Steve Wynn said that never happened, and he took him to court over it. Steve asked for $12 million in his libel lawsuit.
Wow.
The jury apparently did not agree with Steve Wynn, though they did decide in his favor, but they only awarded him $20 million.
USA! USA! USA!
So Joe Francis owes a lot more money for shooting his mouth off than he ever did gambling. 10 times as much.
So they went from 12 to 20. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. I love that. I love that when the jury comes back with more than you asked for.
And he should go to prison somehow.
I didn't even know he was out of prison.
Can we throw something else in there?
Yeah, he's been in prison for a while, I thought.
Yeah. Douchebag.
Yeah, he is.
He really is. And look, I love nothing more than girls lifting their tops, but this dude's a massive douchebag.
Yes. Yes, he is. And he's not straight up about it, and he preys on drunk teenage girls to get them to lift their tops up, and it's just seedy and wildly inappropriate.
And he's a
parasite.
Yeah, what plenty of dumb douchebag.
Yes.
Plenty of girls out there willing to lift their tops without the way he goes about doing it.
And pay him a decent wage and let them be models if they want to be models, whatever. You don't go around just getting it on the sly from drunk girls and then making a million-dollar empire out of it. Quite a scumbag. James Cameron. Heard you guys talking about Titanic with Bob Dylan there.
Yeah, he's fascinated.
He is writing the next two sequels for Avatar. So we're going to get three Avatar movies. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say three?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's announced he has an idea for a prequel. So he is planning a fourth Avatar film that will take place before the original Avatar. Four Avatar films. That's what we're going to get by the time it's all said and done.
How many have we seen?
We've seen one.
One.
One Avatar.
And it's the highest-grossing movie of all time.
That's right. Yes. So he's got a prequel that's in the lineup, and then he's got two sequels as well. So
I think if you'll permit me here, Ralph, I believe Kevin covered that the last time we had James Cameron on this show.
Come on.
He was asking about his whole body of work, I think, with The Abyss and everything else, right?
I think I have the tape.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
That's right. Yeah. You can cover that.
Maybe we can get another hard-hitting interview with him. You've got three more Avatar movies? Yes. That's pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting.
Excuse me. And Justin Timberlake's looking to expand his empire. It's not enough that he's an actor and a singer and a dancer, producer.
Gets all the women.
Gets all the ladies. Now he wants to be an owner of a basketball team. He's part of a group of investors led by billionaire Robert Parrott to be the new owners of the Memphis Grizzlies.
It does seem like once any celebrity gets rich enough, that's what they set their sights on, is how can I own a sports franchise?
But it makes a little bit more sense than some, because Justin is from Memphis. That's his hometown.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that he would want a piece of the hometown team. Apparently he's going into business with this guy, Robert Parrott. The original owner of the franchise, Michael Heisley, has agreed to sell the team to Parrott in June for $350 million for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Wow.
How much would a good team cost?
Overpriced.
NBA hasn't signed off on the deal yet, but they're expected so we'll have to wait and see what happens in June. But Justin Timberlake could be part owner of the Grizzlies.
Think he put himself in?
Absolutely.
He could.
Starting center, Justin Timberlake.
That'd be awesome.
Guy's like towering over him, just slapping the ball out of his hands. That'd be the best. Today's celebrity birthday is Ludacris. He's 35 years old today. Guitarist John Buckland of Coldplay celebrates his 35th birthday. I think the other guys in Coldplay are like, hey, you know what? We're in the band too, okay? How about us over here? What do you? Hey, I know. Yes, we know, Chris. Yes, I know he's dreamy. Hey, what about us?
I would be the exact opposite of that. I would be, thank God, Chris Martin is out there soaking up all the fame so that I can walk around completely anonymously and still make the Coldplay money.
Yeah, well, you don't like people.
There's that.
There is that.
Other people like people. Jeremy Popoff of Lit is 41 years old today. Taraji P. Henson, how good is she? What a great actress. 42 years old. Harry Connick Jr. turns 45. Moby, 47 years old. And actress Virginia Madsen from Sideways and American Dreams and other feature films. I remember the first time I ever saw her was in an HBO movie. This is when back when HBO was in its infancy. She did a baseball movie with William Peterson of CSI called Long Gone.
Hmm.
And I had never seen her before. And I was like, she was the sexiest woman I'd ever seen. And I always remember her when I think of that. 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Who's better than Sarah Shahi?
No one.
No one is better.
Everybody.
Sarah Shahi. She's the best.
Oh, listen to Kevin.
After the picture I saw of Kevin in the reception area.
Pull the microphone a little bit closer if you would.
After the picture I saw of you, that's Kevin-ing. Pretty special.
Yeah.
Has Bean seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Bean has done it. I've done my own Kevin.
Well, Sarah was almost late getting in here because she won't stop Kevin-ing in the other room. She's been taking her photos.
screaming about it. Stop it. Is the Jimmy Kimmel Kevin-ing photo up yet?
I don't know. I don't know if that's up on the website
supposed
or not.
To be. King of Mexico.
Oh, his Kevining. His Kevining.
You've got to start the Kevining
dude.
Competition.
Oh, we did.
We've got a,
oh, you
a photo
already did?
Gallery
yes.
online.
God,
people,
I'm so behind.
You'll be up there as soon as we get yours.
Oh, my God.
So let's reintroduce our guest to the listeners. Sarah Shahi, of course, is one of the stars of Fairly Legal, an awesome show on the USA Network. She is also on the cover of Maxim's October 2012 issue. We had the editor-in-chief, Dan Bova, on yesterday. We were all singing your praises, Sarah.
Oh, you
talking
were?
About how
oh, yes. Okay, what did he say? Give me the inside.
He said that there was no dispute that you were going to be the number one sexiest woman of fall TV, and we agreed with him. So there.
There's no dirt.
It's very nice. Yeah. No dirt.
No. Because you're boring. You're sexy, and there's a lot of pretty girls on television, but you're just so sweet and so talented and so adorable, and
no,
that's
I'm
why
a
we
bitch.
Love you. No, you're not.
Come on.
No,
start some
not.
Kind of rumor about me, please.
We will if you'd like. Tell me what it's like, and I'm not asking this in a creepy way, although the guys will accuse me of that. Tell me what it's like when you go, and you've done a million photo shoots.
Creepy alert.
That's a Nick Cage, or maybe it should be called the Nick Cage alert.
Yeah, when you go in and you know you're shooting a spread and a cover for Maxim, and you know that all Maxim does is try to push you past the point that you're comfortable. Tell me what you were, what was in your head when you went into that photo shoot?
Well, okay. Well, let me just put it to you this way. You know how they do that Maxim's Hot 100?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just figured the more people I could get to masturbate to me, the higher up on the list I would go.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, honesty in Hollywood. How about a little honesty?
So that was pretty much it. No, honestly,
mission accomplished.
It was a big deal to me to get that cover. You know, it's the circulation of the magazine is pretty wide, and it's
legit. Yeah,
you know, and they do some really nice art, and I was really happy and glad the pictures have turned out well.
Is it important to you on a personal level, or is it just to promote the show and your projects? I mean, what's more important to you when you do something like that? Because obviously you want to look good. You work hard to look good. You want to present yourself in the best light.
But I do think that sometimes if you put yourself out there, especially as an artist, and you don't have anything to back it up, then it comes across a little desperate.
Right.
So, and, you know, and I feel like this actually sounds very pathetic. I feel like I'm constantly straddling that line. No, but, it was both. I mean, and also, you know, I have a kid. So to be able to look that way after having a baby.
It's very impressive.
You know, I want.
Come on, why am I the only one clapping?
Oh, my God.
Here's for moms.
It's because you don't want me Kevining outside. That's what it is. So I did have some personal reasons behind it, too.
Right.
And then, you know, obviously because of the show and then the movie coming out in February and, you know, some other things I have going on. And I guess it's important just to stay relevant and stay out there. I mean, hence, you know, your photo in the Sherman Oaks Arclight Gallery. This interview is now about you, by the way.
How's that happen?
Because you are a phenomenon.
Let's stop it being about me and make it about you.
Sarah spent more time with her photo shoot for Kevin than she did for her photo shoot for Maxim in the other room. She just ordered a team of hair and makeup people to arrive here at the studio.
Take it easy. I'm glad you brought up the hey, I have a kid thing, and here's I look like, because I think it should be required that every woman who has a baby gets a copy of this issue and they know what to strive for.
I do the Tracy Anderson method, and she's under a little bit of fire for what she said about pregnant women, which I feel like was completely taken out of context. And
what did she say for those who didn't hear?
She said that women that are pregnant, that it's an excuse to put on weight.
Well, that's
Which,
true.
By
in
the
some
way,
cases.
And you know, and but the
Jessica
thing is,
Simpson.
No, oh man.
Oh no, you're right. My bad. She didn't gain 400 pounds.
All right, look,
for an 8-pound baby.
Okay,
yeah.
All
no,
right.
I fed her Twinkies. No, it's my fault.
She said that she thought it would all come off when she had the baby.
Uh huh.
She didn't
well,
understand.
Well, see that's the misconception is people yes. do. Think that it's just going to magically disappear, but all that
Do they really?
Weight. I mean, look, I didn't think that.
That seems pretty stupid.
But
a lot of women do. But lose a lot of women do.
Yeah, and also yeah. you keep hearing, you hear, you know, hey, we're eating for two, but not really.
And a lot of women,
baby's the size of a bean.
A lot
first.
Of women indulge their cravings too when they're pregnant.
Well, and
which,
their hormones right. go out. It's not right, just exactly, their yeah. excuse. I mean, there is chemical.
There is a part of it that is uncontrollable.
Yeah. yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, I was working. I was on life, you know.
Oh, that's right.
When
yeah.
I got pregnant. And so I felt like I definitely had an added pressure to look a certain way.
I remember Danny sitting at a lot of tables.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, she
that's
was
right.
looking through a lot of mugshots and sitting at a lot
right.
of tables.
And a lot of trench coats, even though it's, you know, 94 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And, no. yeah, but so anyway, so yeah, and also, you know, having a newborn baby, it's like I didn't want to spend the majority of my day in the gym. I wanted to be with my son. So that was also another awareness I had was I didn't want to be a slave to the gym. And I did a home birth. So that's the other thing.
What?
Is that,
now you're just showing off.
On
no,
purpose?
No, my
or
friend.
Were you caught by surprise?
That picture in the lobby, that's showing off. But yeah, so it was like, so that's the other thing is I wanted to keep my risks for transporting to the hospital down low. So
why did you decide on a home birth, which is an odd, an unusual choice here at 2112, or 2012, I mean.
Whatever year it is.
Whatever year
it is. Lives in the future.
I do.
It's future being.
2112.
Only because a lot of families will go just in the unlikely event that something goes wrong. I want to make sure I have a doctor around.
Well, we had our, you know, we had our plan B and we had a doctor lined up and ready to go in case we did need to transport. But, you know, for the most part, I feel like the business of having babies has kind of turned into a business and isn't once what it was. And I feel like women have... you know, they've been brainwashed in a way by the medical community into thinking that they need to be in the hospital, that having birth is an emergency. I could go on and on and on
wow,
about
you
this.
Wow, you've thought about this.
I have, yeah, I mean, I've given a couple talks on this. I did a lot of research on this. And at the end of the day, I just trusted myself and I trusted my baby and knew he would come out the right way.
Did you just go in the backyard and grab a couple trees and squat? like an American Indian woman?
Yeah, there was a mighty gust of wind that came through.
And you can hear your...
I had Tonto in the background playing his flute, and he came out to the sound of the howling wolves.
Did you do a water birth?
Hence
or was it
the name
just,
Wolf.
Were you just in bed? Or
We did a water birth.
Water birth? Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Wow.
And then you pain meds? Did you do pain meds?
So, anyway, the cover of Maxim.
No, did you do pain meds?
No, I did not.
Wow, you're
I did
a,
not.
You're a
what?
Tough chick.
I did not do
or
any
insane,
kind of medication.
Or you're insane chick.
Or a show off.
I just...
Do we know?
You know, I don't know. I just felt like, you know, generations of women have done it before. And my mom did 3 natural births. And I just also felt like I loved being pregnant. I was a very good pregnant woman. I got hit on more than I've ever gotten hit on in my life while I was pregnant. And I just felt...
Because guys think they have a shot with a big fat chick. They know they don't have a shot with you in this shape, but if they look, she's kind of let herself go. Maybe she'll like take some pity on me.
No,
you know?
Man.
Did you gain
800
pounds like Jessica Simpson?
No, I gained 30.
Just 30.
That's
I
nothing.
Gained 30, and 25 of it came off within the first 2 weeks. I mean, that is when if you take care of yourself, Mother Nature will take care of you. I believe in that.
There's so much hate on the other side of the radio right now. So much hate.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. And I'm not passing any kind of judgment, you know, and like, hey.
On people who aren't as good as you.
No, stop it.
Those lazy hospital birthing fat broads out there.
Everyone has got their own, everyone's got their own way of doing things, and, you know, no pregnancy. Is every pregnancy is different. So.
And only one of you can be perfect. No, we know. We
oh,
got it.
Stop it.
How old is your son now?
He's 3, going on 30. He's 3.
Wow.
He thinks he knows everything. Yeah, I was making dinner last night, and he was like, that's not how you do it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, oh, really? How do you do it? And then, I mean, he's like, that's not right. No.
Okay. He's 3,
takes after
Kevin.
His,
I don't know. Maybe
he
he's
takes
a genius.
After his father, who always thinks he's right.
Ah.
So, you know, that's where he gets that from.
Sure. This is the voice of Sarah Shahi here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have to take a break. We have much more to talk about, including will Fairly Legal ever return to our TV? Because it seems like it's been off for like 3 years.
I miss it so much. Can we talk a little bit about Fairly Legal when we come back?
Absolutely.
I have some big questions about this past season.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
What a hoe bag Kate Reed is.
Oh, she's such a slut.
We'll be right back. Sarah Shahi has the best stories of not just any guest, of any person I've ever met.
She lives hard. That's for sure. I know that.
Just one sentence, this guy's an a-hole. The next sentence, this kidney was infected. The next sentence, I'm going to that bar. The next sentence, I mean, it's like dealing with a crazy person trying to keep up with her. It's like she's got 11 personalities going on in her brain at the same time.
Full life.
I am exhausted.
I am exhausted also.
She did try the Oreo, though, Bean.
She tried the candy corn Oreos.
Yes, yeah. We unveiled those today here on the show. What'd you think, Sarah?
They tasted like ass.
She headed right for the trash can.
I think unanimously, as excited as I was about the new candy corn Oreos, they are a tragic disappointment. They're not good at all. So
yeah.
That's
much like candy corn itself.
How dare you? Hey, Sarah Shahi is on a little program called Fairly Legal. It has been gone since June. When does it return to my USA network, please?
That's a good question. Should we call USA right now and ask them?
They haven't told you? What?
Let's call Bonnie Hammer and Jeff Watzell and ask.
But you've been renewed. We got another season coming, right?
Well, it looks that way, is the thing.
Don't
it looks
even
that way.
Give me any room
Are you
for
really,
doubt.
Are you a fan of the show?
My wife and I, every week, it's one of the few shows that we both sit down and must watch every week, and we watch it together.
Really?
Yes.
My
wife,
that's
who doesn't get into celebritydom or anything like that, she was almost going to come in here today to meet you. That's how much she loves Kate Reed and you and that character and that show.
She should come in.
We watch every episode together, and I got to tell you, I have some complaints about last season because Kate is a little bit of a slut. She was a little bit of a hoe bag.
Why was she a hoe bag?
Because she was working
I wanted her. My thing for
guys.
Next year is for her to be more of a hoe bag.
Turn
I didn't think she was enough of a hoe bag
this
year.
She's banging Justin, her ex, who she can't seem to just get him out of her bloodstream. And yet she's still leading Ben along by the nose, just working that angle too. Just pick a side, Kate. That's what I was yelling at.
That's not what she does, though.
You know, next year, the whole thing is going to be single girl in the city, so she's really going to be a hoe bag.
But she's living
quite
right
tame. She was quite tame this year.
But she's living right next door to Ben. How can she not? Like,
I know.
How can not that romance not blossom now that it's high neighbor from the balcony?
Even if it blossoms, though, Ralph, it doesn't mean she has to settle down.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
I mean, hey. Why do you have to have? Why do you have to just ride one ride at Disneyland?
I love this woman so much.
People.
I love this woman so much. Sarah.
I actually had a boyfriend tell me that one time.
Really?
He was cheating on me and with a few other girls. And then, you know, like we were both like, you know, Disneyland and dessert and food. And that was one of the few things we had in common. One of the only things we had in common. And then and a way to make it okay, he was like, you don't have just one favorite ride at Disneyland, right?
Nice. Did he really try that, though, for real?
Yeah, and then he was like, and you don't always eat, and you have a few different kinds of dessert that you like. and then he was like, but there's always that one favorite dessert you always go back to.
See?
But you have to try
sometimes
a few others.
Sometimes you like that favorite more when you try the other one and say, well, these aren't as good. I'm going to go back to the other.
And sometimes, another one was, and sometimes you have to have the McDonald's hamburger to be able to appreciate the filet.
Did you say okay?
So you even were once? Basically Sarah. You were the candy corn Oreo in his pantry, basically.
I was not
the candy corn Oreo.
Was
not.
No,
never.
No,
how dare
fudge
you, sir.
That.
Why?
She was the
Why?
Chocolate mousse. It takes 20 minutes to make. You have to order before you have your meal.
The chocolate ganache,
yes,
sir.
Yes.
Sarah, why did you sound so surprised to find that there are people in this room who are fans of your show? You know that people watch
I'm
your show,
I'm always
surprised
when I get recognized, to be honest with you. It like has not sunken in.
You've been on TV a long time,
I don't realize it, though.
I will tell you,
don't
you know
realize
what you do
it.
For a living,
because
right?
Because I do, but at the same time, like, I have so many, but I don't assume, I just figure it goes in a vault somewhere. Like, and I know it's on the air, and I know people watch it, but there's so much that I want to do myself, so many goals that I have, that I feel like I'm at the very beginning of my career. I feel like I'm just at the start of my education. So for me, I have so much more that I want to tell and that I want to, you know, put out there that I'm like, really? You guys saw that little thing? Because wait till you see this.
Well,
you know?
I'll tell you what's cool is, like, my daughters like it. So
right.
That's a
How
bonding.
How old are your daughters?
14. So that's like a bonding thing with them. I watch every single episode with them because they love it. I still have two of them because I'm not going to watch it until I watch it with them.
Kate Reed is a role model for future slutty girls of the show.
She is. I think she is. I've actually learned a lot from her. I like being her because
she's got it going on in many areas of her life.
Yes, she can't figure it out. But I think romance is
the downfall.
Yes, which is very normal.
Yes,
it's normal. I mean, how many times have we been in that situation?
You and I together? Yes,
quite often. Quite often.
Which is, I think, the reason my wife wanted to show up today. She's starting to suspect, sir.
Good idea. Yeah. Hey, Sarah Shahi here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous Kerouac. When you talk about the things, wait till you see what I've got coming up next, wait till you see what I'm going to do in the future, are these all Hollywood related or other things that you are dying to get to in your life that you haven't done yet?
I mean,
are you a mountain climber, or what are you talking about?
No.
Are you a mountain climber?
I am a secret harmonica player.
Okay.
Or, you know, want to learn. So it's very secret. I'm producing my first movie right now called Road to Paloma. I'm producing and starring it with my partner, Jason Momoa.
Awesome.
And what
He's
else?
Conan, right?
Yes, Conan. And then, you know, I have another movie coming out in February called Bullet to the Head, but it's, and then this other movie I did with this, Milo Ventimiglia, this other actor that's coming out in November called Static.
You're very much like Kate.
Why?
You're a little scattered.
I'm totally scattered.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like, did you just now figure that out?
Having trouble.
Did I pretend to have it together when we first met?
I just took it for granted that you did.
Yeah, no.
But it's also. Bullet in the Head, isn't that Stallone? That's a Stallone movie, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're Stallone on screen with Sylvester Hill. Stallone.
Yes.
How's that?
Are you taller than him?
I think we are eye to eye. though he might have been wearing lifts, I don't know.
Sure.
He was awesome. I mean, he's a living legend, and for being such an icon, he is so self-deprecating, has such a great sense of humor and
that's nice to hear.
Awareness about who he is, and he was awesome.
And Walter Hill.
Walter Hill, I mean, exactly.
Talk about legend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I want to produce, I would love to do some plays, I'd love to do a musical. I also do want to start my own tequila.
All right.
And we're talking about tequila.
You're a tequila fan. Yes.
Yes. And I have consumed enough that I have a very good palate. I was going to go down to Jalisco. I had come up when I was on Life, the other two camera guys and I we came up with a business plan, and we were going to go down to Jalisco. We were going to tour different agave farms and actually try to make this thing happen. And then I found out I got pregnant.
Yeah, put tequila on hold.
More testing.
Yeah, yeah. So that's something I want to pick back up, you know.
So tequila actually led to you not being able to start the tequila business.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. How about that for a Bob Dylan lyric?
You're like a tequila, got me making my own tequila.
Sarah, you have, you're a crazy woman. You're going to go out in the other room. You're going to do some Kevining.
No, stop. Yeah. She's already on plenty.
Yes.
We're going to be able to put you up on the website?
Yeah, please. Please, I'm dying. I want to be up in the arc light right next to Kevin.
As Kevin.
I would rather you were there instead of me. Do I have that option?
No. I got to be next to you,
They should do an all wall of posters just of celebrities doing the Kevin.
Seriously, they really should.
That would be a great promotion.
They really should.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Sarah is on the cover of the October 2012 issue of Maxim magazine. Great interview and pictorial inside. And, of course, we're talking about Fairly Legal, which will return at some point. We'll definitely let you know on the USA Network. Ralph, you want to say goodbye to your girlfriend?
No.
I want her to stay here forever.
Or are you just going to leave with her, go where she's going next?
I'm going to go pick agave for her. I'm going to be hired for her new tequila line.
Sarah, we love you. You couldn't be more awesome.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me back. It was good to see you.
Thanks. Always a pleasure. I advise you to keep on listening to K-Rock all week long to score your tickets to see Rise Against and Gaslight Anthem. They are playing at the Honda Center September the 29th. Tickets are available now. You can win them through krock.com. You can also win them on the radio as Jose Pacheco from Los Angeles just did. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Your chance is coming up here on K-Rock.
Time for the Afro Line. The number is 323-520-AFRO. You can leave a message 24 hours a day on any topic like this guy did specifically for Ralph.
Hey, Ralph, you like Oreos? Like the Oreo cookie? You enjoy that product? Not anymore. Candy corn Oreos.
That's what we're saying. Tried them today. They're awful.
Yep.
And I have to agree with the monkey on this one. I was very disappointed because I was the one who was so much looking forward to them. I love candy corn and I love Oreos, yet it is not a good combination.
We hate them for different reasons. If it tasted like candy corn, I would hate it more. But Bean didn't like it because it wasn't enough candy corn.
Yeah, it tasted, I mean, it tasted like generic off-label frosting is what it tasted like. So I'm very, very disappointed. I mean, I'm going to have to really kind of reevaluate my whole life now.
Try and figure out what this woman's talking about.
Actually, the green earring at Macy's goes to Tammy Pearl. Okay. Inski. Levinsky cannot. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
I know you love her, Kevin, and you encourage her to keep calling the Afro. But don't you get the feeling like we're always, when she starts talking to us, it's like we're 80% into a conversation that we haven't been privy to at all. Like,
of course. That's what I love about her.
And she never brings us up to speed.
Never.
We never know what the topic is. It's always different.
But, Bean, here's my thing. I could imagine speaking to her for 12 hours straight, and you would never get your head around what she was talking about.
No, I think you're probably right.
Here's a guy who is trying to explain exactly how the Kevining photo that is up at the Arclight happened.
Kevin Ryder, the photographer, will see you now. Oh, you're gonna pick a picture?
That's about right.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, Dave the King of Mexico is in charge of the gallery, mm-hmm. the Kevining Gallery. He's not too fast. That's not his problem. He doesn't move too quickly.
Okay.
What the F? I go on, I'm like the first one Kevining on Instagram, even tagging myself Kevining, and you guys only blew me up in the gallery? That's some bullshit. You guys even wrote to me? And you guys didn't write to me? You hear that? Everybody saying bullshit? That's bull. You guys suck. I can't believe that. Fire Beerbug.
Well, we should fire Beerbug, even though he's not at all involved in this process. But
I like the girl in back who's just yelling.
She's the hype man. She's the hype man. I think that Dave is working as fast as he can, but the volume at which these photos are coming in from around the world,
slow it down, people.
Kevining, I think it's just more than his little Mexican fingers can keep up with.
Little song about alcohol.
I love vodka. I love vodka. 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 Vodka.
Not a good one, but a song.
Yeah.
So cute. No jeans ever went Khloe Kardashian's way.
Alrighty. I don't know. How about a listener impersonating her?
Barack Obama stole my house keys and sneaks in every night to read me a bedtime story.
That's fantastic.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's almost identical. Here's an idea.
Ask an alien abductee.
Asked and answered. Did it.
Done it.
Did
yep.
it.
Is what's completed. On the air right now.
Oh, yep.
Ask an alien abductee. Seriously.
We were proud of
you. You guys are reaching. What's tomorrow? Ask a tooth fairy. Ask the Easter Bunny.
Slow down.
Hey, can we ask Santa Claus at Christmas? For Christ's sakes, guys.
The woman was abducted by aliens.
Well, she wasn't, but she thought she was.
Maybe she was. I want to give that woman the opportunity to come on.
I do, too.
Come on.
I'd do it again tomorrow, dude. Sorry.
Sure. Hi. Am I on the air? You beer mugs.
I think that was after his red carpet.
To be honest, I just wouldn't have even bothered to pull out the necklace.
Okay, what are you talking about, lady?
To be honest, I wouldn't have even bothered to pull out the necklace.
This isn't punchline day.
I don't know what that means, but I like it so much. I want to date her.
Mm-hmm.
Call in if you're her. If you know her, have her call in. But until then, 323-520-AF.
Dana White, president of the UFC, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Wait till you see Sarah Shahi's Kevin.
Really?
Till you see.
Is it awesome?
It may be the best. It may have just pushed Jimmy Kimmel out of the top slot.
Nobody was more excited about it, I'll tell you that.
The rich and famous have a new obsession. It's called Kevining. It is sweeping the nation. It is Kevin being all special needsy. In a photograph that was posted in the lobby of the Arclight Theaters. And it's become more than just photographs now. We're getting artwork sent to us. Original artists are sketching Kevin while he's Kevining. We're getting people are working in different media now, clay and statues and marbles, sculptures. And
I heard that Bob Dylan is writing a song about Kevining. That's how far it's
funny
gone.
You should bring that up. because apparently there's a new dance sensation called Kevining. The kids are doing it on the dance floors at the discotheques.
What are you talking about?
People are dancing, doing
they don't
the
call them discotheques. It's they're
Kevining. The discotheques are being swept with Kevining. People taking to the dance floors Kevining to the new smash hit song. Kevining.
It's what like, are you talking
remember in
about?
the '60s when everybody was doing the twist and they had a song called Do the Twist?
Sure.
It was like a novelty song that went along with the dance craze.
Right. Yeah, they now, had the swim and the pony and it was all about the dance craze.
There's
crazes,
a new
right?
song shooting up the charts, the Billboard 100 not. Called Do the Kevining. And now kids are doing the Kevining on the dance floor to the song The Kevining. Here's the single. You're gonna love it. I'm telling you, it's gonna be all over AMP tomorrow, so you better listen now here on K-Rock.
Hey, boys and girls! Have you heard about the new sensation that's sweeping the nation? It's called Kevining, and I'm gonna show you how! Well, first you have to think like a Kevin. Think like IQ minus 11! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! Then you have to get a stupid goofy face and make sure you stare into outer space! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! Then two thumbs up and this is no joke! To finish it off, have a stroke! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining! You're Kevining!
I just had a stroke, don't mock me.
That's it, kids are dancing.
Wow.
They're Kevining. They're
Kevining.
Kevining at the discotheques. That's
move
what they're doing.
Over Gangnam Style.
That's what I'm saying. Sweeping the nation.
This is great.
I want to see Sarah's picture right now.
Oh, it's the best. How great is she, by the way?
She's the best person in the world
ever. I miss her so much right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't even ask if she could do traffic.
Oh, what were you thinking?
She's better than traffic.
She is better.
Good point. She could have my job.
We should all leave. Just hand her the keys. And just you do the show every morning. People would enjoy it a lot more.
I would listen.
I would too. I would too. Remember I told you about how weak the box office was?
Yes. 9 million was number one.
Talked about it yesterday over the weekend. What I didn't realize was, and this is fascinating to me, is that Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, was re-released over the weekend on the IMAX screens. It's the most successful movie at the box office this week, and if you go by the per-screen average...
Oh, really? Per-screen?
Yeah, per-screen, it made more money than any other movie did this weekend. Here is the more interesting part. It had the best per-screen average of any film in 2012.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
More than Batman? More than the Avengers?
It made $1.7 million on just 267 screens.
Wow.
That translates to $6,460 per screen. Now, of course, the ticket prices are bumped up a little bit because it's IMAX, but people still love Indiana Jones.
So sure.
That's cool.
All-time classic.
I want a good movie.
Don't we all, Kevining? A little controversy this morning. The White House, led by President Obama and the First Lady, held a moment of silence at 8:46 a.m. at Ground Zero in New York. So this is East Coast time.
Why is that controversial?
Well, because ABC's Good Morning America stopped their programming to observe the moment of silence, along with CBS This Morning. Cable news networks carried the moment live. The NBC News and Today Show, however, skipped the moment of silence, choosing rather to air an interview with Kris Jenner in its entirety about her and her breast implants.
No. USA! USA! USA!
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What the?
Yeah. While the rest of America was engaging in a moment of silence, remembering when the first plane hit the World Trade Center, NBC News was talking to Kris Jenner.
By the way, this moment of
Stay
silence
classy, NBC.
Didn't sneak up on them. It's something that they do and have done every year for the last 10 years.
Right. Yeah. It's not like they just and missed it. They knew about it.
Probably something they'll always do, by the way. I mean, yep. It's a thing that we do. We pause right. and remember on September 11th and say, dude, bad times. But really, yeah. Kris Jenner?
All the things.
Yeah. They weren't doing an exposé on the guy who found a cure for AIDS or new right. cancer research or something.
Freaking Kris Jenner's
breast implants.
Or more importantly, covering a car chase through downtown L.A. They right. weren't doing that.
None of that.
We would understand.
We were airing Afro calls from the crazy woman at 8:26.
Right. We're not NBC, though.
Yeah, okay. We're not NBC News.
All right, good.
And it was a live moment at 8:46 a.m. in New York especially. Now, the NBC affiliate in New York did cut away from today's show in order to cover it on their local coverage, as
wow,
you can imagine.
Wow, that's strange that they would be fighting with themselves, sort of.
No,
I mean, that show is out of New York.
Yeah, that's true. They do it in New York, but the local NBC affiliate that carries it there opted to instead go to their local news coverage and to have the moment of silence covered. So at least in New York City, if you're watching NBC, you got a chance to observe it. But the rest of the country... I guess NBC decided they didn't get enough heat because of the Olympics. They wanted some more negative tweets. And they sure got them. Twitter is filled with NBC news tweets. Major fail is a large one. Because a new all-time low. Shame on them. And stay classy. That's also in there.
Fail! Hey. Epic fail.
Yes.
I was just grateful they carried the Broncos game live on Sunday night. I was trying to figure out the math of when I was going to be able to see that game.
I'm confused.
I'm trying to figure that out.
Because it was an NBC sporting event that they carried live for a change.
Olympics. Going back to Olympics again.
It was nice, yeah. Callback.
Gotcha. I gotcha. And while we're talking about the Kardashian clan, porn star Kim Kardashian in the news. She is talking about how difficult her divorce is.
What?
How much she learned from her 72-day marriage to NBA player Chris Humphries. How difficult season 4 of Keeping Up with the Kardashians has been for her. I was like, you guys, I don't know that I have much more to give. I can only be myself. Like, we're so boring now. We've shown everything.
That's true.
But she says she's learned a lot. And the divorce has been difficult, so much so that with any big decisions in your life, things are difficult. She said, like, I spoke to a girl today who had cancer. And we were talking about how this is such a hard thing for her. It taught her a big lesson on who her friends are and so much about life. She's 18. And I was like, that's how I feel.
What?
So Kim going through this divorce from a 72-day marriage is just like this 18-year-old who is suffering from cancer. It's the same thing.
Wow.
That's how I feel, Kim said.
Wow.
And then Kim gave some money to the church her mom runs.
What? And the rest to Harvey Levin, apparently.
And everything got better. You're saying Harvey's on the take, on the Kardashian take?
I'm suggesting it's curious that he's not as fascinated by this story as we are.
He's on the pad, as we used to say, back in the 70s when I worked in the
NYPD.
You
never worked in the NYPD.
Alongside with Serpico?
Nope.
Yeah,
it's not you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Virginia Madsen is 51 years old today. Musician Moby turns 47. Harry Connick Jr., son of Narlands, 45 years old. Taraji P. Henson, very talented actress, is 42. Jeremy Popoff of Lit is 41. John Buckland, guitarist for Coldplay, 35 years old today, as is the rapper Ludacris. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I've met Dana White before, but this guy in our studio now is the American Indian version of Dana White. What happened? You've never been redder, Dana.
We were shooting The Ultimate Fighter yesterday in Vegas. It was 100 degrees. The producer said it would take an hour. It was the coach's challenge, and it took 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
Yeah. I got burnt bad.
You look cartoonish bad.
Yes, you do. I have like 7 gallons of aloe vera in my hotel room that I've been rubbing on my head for 15 minutes.
If I'm a bald guy in Las Vegas, I'm wearing the biggest hat I can find. But I guess you can't wear something dorky on TV, right?
No,
that's the problem.
It was supposed to be an hour.
An hour. But didn't you like at an hour, didn't you go, I need a little break. Let's hold things up for 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, we all knew it was bad. I mean, if you look at the UFC, there's a lot of bald guys. Shane Carwin was out there yesterday. He was burnt to a crisp. I mean, everybody was. And it was the longest coach's challenge in the show's history. 3.5 hours. It was crazy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What was the problem? Why did it so exceed what you expected?
Who knows? I mean, I don't know why, but it was a
series.
I know
TV is slow in general, but.
Exactly. Well, it was a series of events instead of one challenge, so they had to set up the cameras every time they did something, so it was absolutely brutal.
Now, is that what's going to air this Friday?
Yeah, this Friday. We're still filming. We wrap on Wednesday. And
then people edit around the clock?
Yep. That's how it
works.
Wow.
So let's talk about it. We have so much ground to cover with the president every time Dana White is here on the Kevin Amin Show. Let's start with The Ultimate Fighter since the premiere is Friday night, FX, 9 o'clock. Obviously, Carwin and Nelson do not like each other. They are very public about that. And that makes it a lot of fun to root for their respective teams depending on which guy you like, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It definitely doesn't hurt when they don't like each other. But I can tell you this. Nelson and I don't get along too well either.
Really?
I'm just worried more people are going to want to see me fight Nelson at the end of this show than Shane Carwin.
Well, I saw the preview of it that's up, and it looks like there's a lot of testosterone in this house.
Yeah, there's
compared to former years.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty crazy season. The thing that I like about The Ultimate Fighter, first of all, it's become this huge talent pool for us. You know, we create talent on this show.
Right.
And the other thing is, every it's one of the longest running reality shows on TV, and the same thing doesn't happen every season. Every season, something different happens. And
yeah, because you don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, I love that about the show.
I love the fact that most of the fighters don't have a lot of experience. So when you add that kind of variable in, some guy will totally surprise you. Another guy you thought was going to destroy will get killed. I mean, it's just shocking.
It's true. No, it's true. It's a fun show.
It's curious to hear about you having a feud with a guy that technically works for you, right? I mean, you're the one who's paying all of these guys on all these shows, right?
Yeah,
and Dana has arguments with everyone. You know that?
I know that a lot of guys have crossed you, but that's what's curious to me about the way you run the UFC is you are kind of a benevolent dictator in that, yes, you're the boss, but you give people plenty of room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. It's not like you're laying down the law and say you do it my way or you're out. I mean, you kind of let people talk back to you, and I always wonder how you developed this management style, because not everybody would run your job the way you run it.
People say that to me all the time about, you know, oh, you're different than the commissioner of baseball, football, and this and that. You're different than any other president of a company. This isn't Microsoft I'm running over here. You know what I mean? I'm dealing with 475 of the baddest dudes on the planet, and there's certain ways to deal with different guys, and we're not always going to see eye to eye.
Did you learn this style slowly?
I did.
By being right in the middle of it?
Yeah, I did. And, we don't have to be best friends for you to work there, but there's certain things that I expect and certain things that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other things that you don't. You don't always have to agree with me, but, mm-hmm. We have to come into a common ground to run the business.
What are your zero tolerance areas, Dana?
My zero tolerance, stuff. As long as you're professional, you show up to things that you're supposed to show up to. You follow the rules of the athletic commission that whatever state we're fighting in.
All right, you don't have a choice.
Simple things like that we can. You know, as long as we can run our business. I guess the best example I could give you guys is Nick Diaz. I mean, Nick Diaz is just off the charts crazy. Hard to deal with this kid when you don't show up. We set up a huge press conference, and you don't show up for a press conference. And George St. Pierre came in, and he's been doing media for 3 days leading up to this fight, and you just don't show up. There's certain things like, okay, maybe you have one of those cards to smoke marijuana medically.
Right.
Okay. It's illegal still. All right. The athletic commission does not want marijuana in your system.
Yeah.
If you do, you get suspended, you get fined, and all this other. Just follow the rules so that we can all run the business. The fans can get the fights that they want to see.
Right.
It's pretty simple.
Speaking of the fans getting the fights they want to see, UFC 151.
Yeah.
We got to take a break, Kevin.
Was not great.
Thanks. Actually, perfect. Let's go to commercial.
We got to take a break.
Awesome.
Ultimate Fighter is the premiering this Friday night on FX. UFC 152 apparently is going to happen on September 22nd in Toronto. We'll talk about all this with the president, Dana White, after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend, the president of the UFC, Mr. Dana White, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, did you really just get a text from Rhonda?
I did.
Ronda Rousey, MMA champ. She, if she walked in the room right now, we would throw you out so fast. Dana, I hope you know that.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Ronda, if you're still listening, sweetheart, come in. Come in. Do it.
She said, tell them to bring back Spencer Pratt impressions.
All right.
Very We're happy he's gone if she doesn't mind.
What is your – I know we have a lot of ground to cover here in a few minutes.
UFC 151.
Before we get to that, what is your – since Rhonda is listening, where is women's MMA these days? What's the growth of that sport looking like?
She's the one who's taken it to another level. She is unbelievable. I mean, the fact that everybody knows her. The other night we were at the Sons of Anarchy premiere.
Right.
Which, by the way, is unbelievable.
Awesome.
If you're Sons tonight, of Anarchy. Yeah, airs tonight. On FX, if you're a fan, the first episode is unbelievable.
I can't wait.
But as soon as we got out of the car, you know how those things are at premiere, they're all lined up. The whole place started screaming, Rhonda.
Really? Rhonda.
Wow. Oh, yeah, going crazy. Guys were yelling, keep walking, Dana. Yelling, Rhonda, I swear to God, I'm not even
you
making
two separate.
That up. I'm not even but, making that
but,
up.
But let me ask you this question. This is a serious question. I mean, she is gorgeous. First of all, is that what – I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all because she's a great athlete.
You're
but,
right.
I mean, is that what's necessary for women's MMA to take off is to have super attractive people fighting?
It definitely doesn't hurt. Yeah, she's beautiful.
That's not the case
she's
on
talented.
The men's side.
And the thing is about her, she you know, she's this beautiful girl, but inside, she's a guy. When she comes in here and starts talking to you, I mean,
she can hang with guys just like anyone
else.
She
hangs in Stockton with the Diaz brothers. That's where she trains and hangs out. Her crew here in L.A. that she trains with are all, I mean, she's the real deal. She's a real fighter. So it's not just how pretty she is and everything else. But,
is she one of the crazy ones?
No. She's actually very easy to deal with, very good to deal with. Yeah.
So, all right. Now let's move on. What's your relationship like with Bones now? It was probably a little bit frosty after 151 didn't happen. Have you guys forgiven and forgotten and you've moved on? Or
I haven't seen him yet. I haven't seen him and talked to him. I'm going up to Toronto here pretty soon, and we will talk. So
how do you think that's going to go?
I'd say it's still a little frosty, and you know, he and I need to meet face to face and talk this out.
We were very impressed with him when he came in a few weeks ago. We really, really, I mean,
this
he
was,
came in,
what, like a week before that happened, I think?
Yeah, yeah. He came in to promote 151, yep. So he was already ready to, and we really, really had a great time with him. We're very impressed with him, and never saw this coming, I'll tell you that. Neither did you, of course.
He's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. You know, he's young. He's a young kid, and I was telling you guys, I mean, if 23-year-old guy, nobody knew who he was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Now he's got tons of money. He's super famous. If that happened to me when I was 23, I'd make Jones,
I would be dead right now.
I'd make Jones look like an awful boy.
I would not be able to handle that. So let's talk about 152.
Okay.
He's going to fight Belfort.
Yep. So he's going to fight Vitor Belfort. When all the smoke cleared and the dust settled, Vitor Belfort was blowing us up that he wanted this fight so bad.
How much of that do you take into consideration when you're hooking fights up? A lot?
Absolutely. We want guys that are pumped up and looking for the opportunity. And I can tell you this. The other thing about Jon Jones is people aren't jumping over themselves to fight Jon Jones right now.
No, I bet that's true.
You know, Machida was crying for this fight. We offered him the fight. He turned it down. Shogun turned the fight down. And Vitor's calling saying he wants it so bad. So absolutely, you give that opportunity to a guy like Vitor.
What's the matchup look like? Does he have a chance?
Vitor Belfort is one of these guys who is incredibly explosive, has knockout power in both hands, and if he doesn't, the only thing I have with Vitor, sometimes Vitor freezes up when he gets out there.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
1 minute, he's exploding and knocking people out. Next minute, he freezes a little. If he goes in there and is the Vitor Belfort that lets it go, it's a very dangerous fight for Jon Jones.
You don't root for either fighter, right?
No. I don't ever root for
guys. You have to in your heart.
They're all under – well, I'd be a liar if I didn't say there's some guys that I'm like, oh, God.
Some guys you'd like better than other guys, right?
You know, yeah, exactly. It happens. But the cool thing about this sport is almost every guy that works for the UFC that's you know, under contract with us is a great guy. There's a lot of really good people that are involved in this sport. Are there a couple of guys that, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing get beat? There's no doubt about it. But for the most part, not at all.
I guess the reason I'm asking is because there are some fights that are better for business if one guy wins than the other, in that it, you know, it's a fan favorite, or
right,
it sets up a rematch down the road or something like that. I mean, that has to occur to you as well.
I learned a
lot. Because you're always looking ahead to the future. You know, you're looking to the next five matches, I'm sure.
Right. And when you guys were asking me all the things I've learned along the way here over the last 12 years, don't ever even think about the next match start planning that way, because things don't ever go the way you plan. Especially, it's one of the things that makes the sport so exciting. The guy that you think is probably going to win most of the time doesn't in MMA.
Yeah, that's true. You can never bet on it. I try to bet on it with my friends all the time.
Yep.
And the guy who, you know, Joe Rogan will take you through beforehand. Yeah. And he gives the strengths of each guy and all that kind of stuff. And it just adds up. The guy looks confident. He's got more wins. The other guy. And it's just impossible to tell.
It's so true. It's, people always ask me, come on, who's going to win on Saturday? I'm like, trust me. I'm the last guy on earth you want advice from.
They
want to
put
no
some
idea.
Money on it, and they just want an inside tip?
Come on, tell me who you think. Believe me, I'm the last guy you want to hear from.
Dana, I imagine that there are as many kids growing up today that are 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, whatever they are, who now set their sights on the UFC, whereas before they would have wanted to play basketball or play baseball or football or something like that, right?
I mean, yep, no
you
doubt
must be,
about it.
You must be just be growing a huge generation of future MMA stars right now as a result of the popularity of the sport.
Definitely. And one of the cool things is that, you know, when we were growing up, you parents would put you in karate or taekwondo or one of those. This is the new martial art the kids are taking, not just in this country, but all over the world. So this really has become the new martial art, and because of the sport, it's something that kids can aspire to be a professional right. athlete and fight in the UFC.
And you can't just focus on one thing anymore. It's a yep. well-rounded...
The other cool thing, yeah. like exactly like you said, this is starting.
Lisa has a mauve belt, and
it's brown.
I don't know, karate mauve. Or something.
Yeah,
it's BS.
Is
but
it karate, yeah, that's cool.
But the other thing is, it seems like, and tell me if I'm dead wrong about this, it seems like it's a lot more accessible sport to get into because you can show up for a show like The Ultimate Fighter, for instance, with no background and no experience, really, other than your own training, right? It's not like you have to go to college and get a scholarship and be recruited by a major sport anymore.
Right. Well, there is a minor leagues to this thing. You fight your way up in the minor leagues, and then we catch, you know, we finally...
You pick the cream of the crop off, yeah.
We take the most promising guys into the Ultimate Fighter. But I'd say the one thing that's really cool about this sport that's different than all other professional sports, if you're becoming a professional athlete and you want to compete in this, if you don't make the NFL cut, it's over. It's not like you go play for some minor league and try to come back. Yeah. You know, you can do that for a while in baseball, but mixed martial arts, you get to the UFC, you lose a few fights, you go away, you win a few more, and you come back again.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's over. You can continue to do this.
That's Speaking of which, the first time John Jones loses, is that an automatic rematch? Would you imagine?
No.
Not necessarily.
Depends on how the fight goes. You know, rematches are determined how close was the fight, how controversial was the fight. Was it an absolute, like, for instance, if you guys remember last year, Shogun and Dan Henderson, mm-hmm. that fight was the fight of the year. It was an absolute toe-to-toe war.
Right.
Each guy had each other hurt. That could have been an automatic rematch. You know, but after that fight, sometimes guys are like, you know what?
I don't ever want to do that again.
Exactly. I'll fight a couple other guys before I fight him again.
The Ultimate Fighter premieres this Friday night on FX at 9 o'clock at UFC 152. Jones versus Belfort is going to be on Saturday, September 22nd, which, by the way, is coming up, what? Is that 2 weeks from Saturday? Is that where we're at? Yeah.
Yeah.
Be here soon. Yeah, that's going to be on pay-per-view, and it's going to be from the Air Canada Centre in Toronto. You can follow Dana White on Twitter at Dana White.
Check out his photos of his sunburn.
Yeah,
they're quite humorous.
Anything else you want to leave us with, or do we hit all the bases there?
That's it. I love coming here, man. You guys are the best. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin Amin Show. What's going on, man?
Well, I've got tickets to give away.
Cool.
People like that.
Okay. People do like that.
This is a special K-Rock advanced screening for a movie called The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah!
Movies in theaters everywhere on Friday, September 21st. Thursday, September 20th, however, we'll be having a special K-Rock advance screening starring Emma Watson. Paul Rudd also stars in the story of an introverted freshman who's taken under the wings of two seniors who teach him about the real world and about high school as well. Perks of Being a Wallflower. Right now, if you'd like to see it before anybody else, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through at that number. We'll get a pair of passes. Well, we're talking about tickets this Saturday at the John Lovis Club up at Universal City Walk. Hollywood Babylon, Kevin Smith and I are doing our show. Brand new time, 8 p.m. now on Saturdays up there at the Lovitz. If you'd like to attend this weekend, we're doing a special little Batman tribute show. Batman Live is going to be in town at the Staples Center on the 27th is when that opens. Everyone who attends Hollywood Babylon Saturday night will get a free complimentary ticket to go to opening night of Batman Live at the Staples Center. So if you'd like to attend, you can go to thelovitz.com or BabylonRalph or BabylonKev.com and come see the show. And then you get a little something from us as a thank you.
Just a matter of time before you're doing 8 and 10.
That's true. It's going to be a marathon. We're going to start at a breakfast show on Saturday and then just keep going until we're hoarse.
The one thing about working with Kevin Smith is a day does not come around where he's out of things to talk about.
No, it's endless. In fact, there's a brand new podcast up today called Fat Man on Batman that Kevin does. It's a series where he talks strictly about Batman. I've done one already talking about my Batman collection, about Adam West and getting him a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Today's, that just got posted this morning, is my review of Dark Knight Rises. Kevin and I go through that extensively in much more colorful language than I was allowed to use here on the show when we talked about
Alpha's it. Alpha's not a huge fan of that.
You can check that out as well. I was talking to Kevin. He's planning on doing a celebration for his very first podcast he did 6 years ago this coming February. And so he's planning a weekend of shows in Canada
with everybody that does a podcast with him is going to be, we're all going for the weekend. We're going to do a Saturday and Sunday weekend where the show is a sort of a celebration. He's calling it a smorgy from his Smodcast family. And I said to him, I said, dude, that's going to be a lot of work for you. He was like, I can talk. I said, that's true. Anybody can talk for two days straight over a weekend. It'll be our boy, Kevin Smith. I mentioned Emma Watson is in that new movie, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Well, she's also in the news today because McAfee, the online security company that keeps your PC or laptop safe from all sort of malware, encroachment, and spam and that kind of stuff, they have released their list of the most dangerous celebrities to search for online. These are people you do not want to look for online because if you do, the odds are great that you may end up on a fake website that actually is harboring some dangerous software that will be downloaded to your computer and screw things up for you. She is number one on that list.
I wonder why. I wonder why they chose her.
I do too. I guess because of the popularity of the Potter series. Mm-hmm. She is tremendously searched for. And so the bad guys out there look at that and they say, all right, this is who we want to hitch our wagon to. We tie in with Emma Watson somehow, and it can drive more people to our evil software, and we can get
inside
their computers.
Kevin, you're so lucky they didn't choose Kate Upton. Can you imagine how many computers would have gone through by now if Kate Upton had been the virus?
Or Kevining. Imagine if they put Kevining, if they signed up for that, it would be dangerous.
By the way, here's the rest.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Bean.
I was just going to mention that President Dana White did his Kevining photo. That's
going to
be up
in
the gallery here pretty soon. Earlier today, the beautiful Sarah Shahi was here, and she also did a Kevining photo. So the gallery continues to grow, and you can join in anytime you want by sending a picture. All the instructions in photo galleries are at kevinabean.com.
They're doing spectacular work, the celebrities, by the way, especially with their Kevining photos. The rest of the top 10 list of most dangerous cyber celebrities. People you have to be careful of when you go searching for them on your...
Ryan Gosling,
not in the top 10. Top 10 is Emma Watson, as I mentioned, at number one. Then Jessica Biel is second. Eva Mendes, third. Selena Gomez, Halle Berry, Megan Fox, Shakira.
Can we just have the bell understood?
I don't know. Number eight, Cameron Diaz.
Is there a theme in these photos?
Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
Salma Hayek, ninth.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
Sofia Vergara, 10th on the list.
I'm Yul Gibbons.
Yul Gibbons, not... Not in the top 10.
My name is Iqbal Bun Nutsack.
Iqbal Bun Nutsack, and also not in the top 10.
Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato is also not in the top 10. There's only one man in the top 20 that you shouldn't download. You should not search for a gentleman named Jimmy Kimmel, apparently. You get a lot
Really?
Of, you open yourself up to some bad stuff if you search for Jimmy Kimmel.
Just in general.
Just in general, yes. But particularly some malicious software as well. So I thought that was an interesting list. While we were talking about Emma Watson, another story popped up this morning as I was searching for my computer and downloading viruses. What was that other guy you mentioned, the actor who's not in the top 10? What was his name again? That guy's name.
I wish I had it, but I don't quite yet. Ryan Gosling.
I didn't think we needed it
anymore. Yeah, thanks for burying that. Emma Watson and Ryan Gosling apparently are the top choices for the producers of the upcoming 50 Shades of Grey movie.
Oh, interesting.
Ryan Gosling as Christian Grey. Emma Watson, rumored to be up for the role of Anastasia Steele.
I think the movie would have to be a lot better written than the book for either of those two to sign on.
Although it is guaranteed to be a hit. If there's one sure money thing in Hollywood today, if you make a movie version of this book, there will be tons of lonely cat women who will go to see that. Go to see that movie. So, especially with Ryan Gosling playing the sexy millionaire Christian Grey who roughs up Emma Watson. The names alone sound like just a bad Harlequin romance. It's Christian Grey and Anastasia Steele are together in bed. And, oh, the sweaty, silky sheets.
Yeah.
You read it, Lisa? You read everything.
No,
you haven't read that?
I'm not a fan.
You read everything.
And I opened that book up and then I closed it again.
Ryan Gosling.
While we're talking about books, Pete Townsend is finally releasing his memoirs. You remember this book the Who guitarist was working on? This is the thing that got him in trouble back in 2003.
Oh, when he said he was doing research for the book?
Remember, cops found child pornography websites on his computer?
That's right.
Right.
And he almost went to jail for it. He claimed he was doing research for this autobiography that he was writing. And they went,
eventually cleared.
Sure, you were.
Pete Townsend. Turns out
he was eventually cleared.
He was, had enough evidence to prove that that was indeed what he was doing, because he claims he was sexually abused by his grandmother, who was looking after him when he was 6 years old.
Oh, man.
And he can list a lot of his issues back to those events, and so he was doing research, literally doing research on that when the cops...
Why do you need to do research on that?
It does seem like you know all you need to know.
Well, you may know what happened to you, but you may not know the reasons behind why his grandmother might do it or what effects it has on other people. I guess he was looking for some perspective regarding that.
The timing of this story is so interesting, Ralph, because I'm a big Who fan, and I watch The Kids Are All Right, the documentary movie about The Who, just this past weekend. Right. Great, great documentary. Great band. And Pete Townsend, it occurred to me again watching it, is just a miserable prick.
Yes.
I mean, he really is just an unhappy, unpleasant, miserable person who seems to find no joy in anything that he does. He's completely antisocial and dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really occurred to me until you put it in this context that I wonder if that's as a result of growing up the way he did. And that's just how he turned out.
Very possible. As we know, it's an insidious thing that does have a profoundly negative effect on its victims. The book is called Who Am I? It'll be out on October the 11th. You can pick it up, coming from a HarperCollins publisher. His grandmother, man.
That's way twisted.
That's twisted on so many levels. However, he was especially attractive at six. So, in her
Does
defense.
Does it say that anywhere?
In her defense, he was a good-looking six-year-old. Yes, it says it right here.
You're making that up.
I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to resist what a cute, cute kid he was at six, really.
Come on, man.
Even grandma, I'm just saying.
Get me.
Well said. Well put. Simon Cowell, according to the Toronto Sun newspaper, has offered to pay for Britney Spears' wedding to fiancé Justin Trawick. Of course, they're working together on The X Factor.
That's nice.
Well, it's not really nice. Apparently, there is a small string attached to the offer. Simon said he would like her to get married on The X Factor.
That's not nice.
A very special X Factor where she gets married. I think that's why he's willing to pay for it.
He would like her to contribute something, anything, to the show.
First clips are starting to air from the judging.
Yes.
At the table with Simon, L.A. Reid, and Demi Lovato and Britney Spears.
Yes.
And the first clip I've seen is an older white dude up there. As you can tell, he's just one of these loons who has no talent. They do that in the early, more so in X Factor and America's Got Talent than any other show. American Idol's kind of gotten away from it, but they bring in the bad people, the losers, the lunatics early on, which I find endlessly entertaining.
Me too.
And this old dude apparently was singing, and they don't show that part, but they showed the judge's reaction. And Simon says, "You're just wrong. It's not very good." And he goes, "Well, I've worked too hard on this to not continue with my dreams." And Demi Lovato says, "Well, a lot of people work on their dreams. Doesn't mean that you're any good." And he goes, "Yeah, that's why you use auto-tune, and I don't." Everybody goes, "Ooh." She gets all upset. It's very cool. And Britney Spears says, "How'd you get in here?"
Really?
Yeah. So we got a lot of that look forward to. Stop it. Stop playing that pointless drop of Britney Spears.
It's her laughing.
No one knows that for sure. It could be beer mug. It could be beer mug on the red carpet for all I know. And while we're talking about weird sexuality, director Nick Cassavetes, who directed The Notebook, son of John Cassavetes, legendary actor and director, said that he is in favor of gay marriage, so much so, in fact, he thinks the gays should be able to marry whoever they love, and a brother and sister who are in love should also be able to get married.
Whoa.
As long as they don't have kids.
No.
He said they should be able to get together and get married as well. See, you're not doing us any favors, sir. You're not doing this particular side of the argument any favor when you bring up stuff like that. However, people in Tennessee have overwhelmingly voted yes on the brother-sister marriage act. So, who would have thought? Maybe he's tapped into a portion of the electorate we just hadn't focused on before.
No, 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 no!
I'm sorry.
I'm with that guy.
Do you think so? Yes? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's a no.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Virginia Madsen. Delicious actress from Sideways and American Dreams, 51 years old today. Musician Moby is 47. Harry Connick Jr. celebrates his 45th birthday. Taraji P. Henson, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I believe she won an Oscar for that, or was nominated at least, if I'm not mistaken.
I think nominated, yes.
42 years old today. Jeremy Popoff of Lit is 41. John Buckland from Coldplay turns 35 years old today, as does Ludacris. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
What?
We also have Internet Roundup, brand new Internet Roundup for you. We have Mike Birbiglia.
Ah, yes.
Sleepwalk With Me is the name of this project, and he is a sleepwalker that almost, I don't know, lived half his life that way.
Not to be confused with Kevin's movie, Sleep Eat Strawberry Ice Cream With Me.
By the way, I don't want to give anything away on the interview with Mike tomorrow, but he ends up in real life now. He has to sleep in a sleeping bag zipped up and wear mittens so that he can't unzip himself while he sleeps. That's how severe his sleepwalking is and how many times he's gone through windows and fallen out of things.
Wow.
That's some serious sleepwalking.
He needs some propofol. That's what he needs.
Adam Carolla also tomorrow morning. This Week in Rage. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.